meeting to order. Would we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Marshall, would you like to lead?
I guess so.
Thank you.
Follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. No, I'm not courageous.
Oh, wait. I might have to move over here.
Sit down.
Roll call.
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Vice President Ohilsky?
Present.
President Milledge?
Here.
Thank you.
Reporting out of a closed session, there was no reportable action.
Our next item is the appointment or discussion of method to fill the vacancy on the board. And I'm turning this over to District Council Hanley.
Thank you, Board President, members of the board. Having done the staff report, I'll make the presentation. Happily, I won't be reciting to you what was in the staff report. The district received a resignation from Board Member John Eric Storm that was effective on a specific date. State law for CSDs required that the district post a notice of that vacancy within 15 days in order to maximize your ability to take effective action should you choose to do so. In addition to merely posting notice that there was a vacancy, staff posted notice that people could fill out applications expressing an interest. So this item comes on your agenda tonight for potential action. Actions could include you would be free to appoint someone to fill that vacancy should you choose to do so. You would be free to choose to go to a special election instead should you choose to do so. If you decide not to use the special election procedure, you do not have to make an appointment tonight. You can, but alternatively, you could give staff direction on other procedures to follow. The caveat is an appointment has to be made within 60 days, so we'd have to make sure that we didn't let that 60-day time frame run, or we would have to go to special election. We would no longer have the choice. What I kind of recommend as a procedure tonight, but the procedure's up to the board, but my recommendation would be to have some board discussion about, in general, what your feelings are about appointment versus special election, and perhaps feelings about trying to make an appointment tonight. After you've discussed all those types of things, before you take any action, we have to have public comment. At that point in time, I would recommend that you go to public comment and then bring it back to the board for action. One decision you'll have to make if you follow that kind of procedure is when you do go to public comment, do you want to have more than one period of public comment on the item? You're not required to do so. But you'll have to make that decision yourself. I do recommend that you inform people what that decision is before we start the public comment period. So, for instance, if you expect to hear comment on who should be appointed in addition to comment on whether or not you should appoint or go to now or later or go to special election so that everyone makes all of those comments before you bring it back to the board. Let's inform them ahead of time so they know to do that. With that, I'm prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Where are we at in that 60-day time frame?
I believe May 19th is our last day to take action.
Okay, so we have another board meeting.
Yes. Okay. And there's no law that says the appointment has to be made or the decision has to be made at a regular meeting. Technically, you could have a special meeting.
Because I kind of like the opportunity to, are we into board discussion now before we go to public comment?
Are your mics on?
Well, yeah, the red light's on. Okay, I'll get a little closer. Are we going to have board discussion before we go to public comment?
I want to start with board discussion on our alternative actions, our
okay.
choices.
Right.
Which are having a special election, which in my research could cost $40,000 to $80,000, versus an appointment. Discussion, please.
Well, this is just to fill a partial term until November, right? And then there's a person that, if someone gets appointed, they'd have to run again in November if they wanted to continue on the board.
That's correct.
So, okay, so this is just a short term.
Yeah.
It seems foolish to spend 40 to 80 grand on a short term need like that.
Yeah, I think there's a significant advantage to trying to do this as quickly as we can, so whomever is selected will have a good run at learning what this is all about, and sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. It's a learning process, no matter what your past experience.
Okay. All right. Then at this point in time, I'll take public comment, and this will be for the totality of this item. So anyone who wishes to make comments has 3 minutes at the podium.
Well, I'm going to apologize for interrupting, but one thing I probably should have mentioned is that although you don't have to make appointments from people who have filled applications, you can choose to appoint anybody you like. You did receive some applications. If you're going to want to allow people who have applied
to speak, you can tell them now if you want them to speak during this public comment period or later. That's, again, kind of up to you.
Yeah, that's, okay, I guess, something I had an issue with, because I kind of like to be able to ask questions of the people who want to take that spot. And I don't know if we're prepared to have a little question and answer thing tonight. I guess I'm not as firm on the opinion that we have to do this tonight and do it in a hurry, because I kind of I would like to ask questions and vet people a little bit. And as we were encouraged, when we go to public comment, let's make it clear whether we're asking for comment on the process, the nominees, everything. Yeah, yeah. I just want to make sure that we reiterate that we're taking it all at one public comment period. We're not. Just process. That's what I wanted to make clear.
I thought we were just doing process right now.
Okay, that's fine with me. I just want to make sure
to do that, just because the special election versus appointment, I think we need to decide the approach.
Yeah.
It's clear to me that the approach should be the appointment, because we can't afford $90,000. So, and then if no. I know you didn't say this in your staff report, but there is also the potential the Board of Supervisors could make the appointment if we choose not to do the election. So,
yeah, the code itself just refers to going to an election, but it's never happened to me in my 30 years of doing this.
Well, I was just looking at the code. Yeah. I mean, that is the option that's in there. But I think we should talk about process, whether we want to go to special election or appointment, first of all. And then
so two public comments, then.
That would be my preference.
I'm going to inform you. I've been informed that we're not on television right now.
There's some technical difficulty, and they asked if we could take a break. Just a very short break.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you want a cough drops?
Sure.
So we should go lay hands on it or something. We're breaking.
What we don't know is how long this break will be.
Let's rule out the expensive option. Let's make a motion and rule that out, and then move on. And I would like to decide this thing tonight, frankly.
a London one, and this one's a Bobbery. Okay.
I'd like to decide it tonight if we could.
Well, I agree that the more time, the better for the candidate, but I just don't see the big rush, and I would like a question, be able to question and ask.
There's no reason why we can't question them tonight.
Okay, if they're here.
That was... From the beginning? All right, I'm restarting the meeting. Please take your seats. Please take your seats.
Ready.
Thank you. I'm starting the meeting.
Ready. Seats.
Restarting the meeting. Okay. So, have we had enough board discussion on our alternative actions, which are the special election versus appointment? Okay.
I'm satisfied.
All right. Then we'll take public comment.
On that or what?
On that. I see no one coming to the podium.
This is not talking about the candidate.
Right. That's correct. This is only talking about the process. All right. I see none. No public comments, so we'll move on.
Okay. What I'd like to do then before we move on is to go ahead and I don't know if it's a motion is correct, but that sure. Just... move forward with that the process is going to be appointment in lieu of special election.
I don't think you need a motion if the decision is just to go...
I mean, if the decision is just to proceed with discussion and potential action on appointment, you can just proceed. Because the consequences are, if you fail to make an appointment, then... you have either special election or the potential for a Board of Supervisor action.
Okay, I'm sorry, but now I'm confused because I thought we did need a motion for the process, to choose the process.
No, you just, well, you don't have to have a motion. You had discussion, and so now you can just go right into what, assuming that you want to choose your process and you want to do election, I mean, appointment, then you can discuss what process you want to follow, if you want to appoint this evening or if you want to appoint at the next general meeting or if you want to appoint at a special meeting.
Okay.
Madam, this is not a motion, but one fruitful way to approach this thing is we have four candidates. They're here. They're assumed to be...
We have three out? I currently have three applications. Before we actually start talking to candidates, I will be asking...
make a statement.
If there are... because my interpretation of the rules around all this is that if there's someone here tonight who... has a great notion and wishes to also be considered a candidate, then we would entertain them. Okay. So are we agreed that we're going to fill the vacancy by appointment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I apologize again, but we're just going to have to deal, especially me. All right, in that case, do we have anyone in the room who has not turned in an application who is wants to be considered?
I'll throw my name in the ring.
All right. Anyone else? I'm going to call the candidates by name, and you have 3 minutes for your remarks. Mr. Best.
Good evening. My name is Steve Best. I wasn't expecting to have remarks presented here tonight, but happy to do so. I'm a retired heating and air conditioning geothermal engineer. I've had a lot of experience with drilling for ground loop heat pump systems. I've done over 1,500 to 1,600 wells throughout the state of California, and I understand the technology behind wells, hydrology, geology, and aquifers very, very completely. Therefore, I have a very complete and thorough understanding of what's going on with the aquifers here in Los Osos, and I have a lot of ideas and suggestions, and I feel like I have a good background in how to deal with that and what the needs are for this community. I also have the ability to have a strong ability to think outside the box. I have a very creative intelligence. I can I'm great with coming up with solutions, and I have very very resourceful in my thinking process. I'm an engineer. I'm working on currently on a design for a potable water system for Los Osos, which I think is going to be something that we're really going to be looking at here in the future. I have some very strong feelings about how to deal with the homeless situation here in Los Osos. That is going to be a very important issue coming up here in the future. Also, with parks and recreation, I have some very strong feelings about how we can go about achieving the needs for this community to establish the parks, the trails, the recreation features that we need for our town so that we can have a better community, a more happy community, a more healthy community, and a more community that's in sync with this town and to build a better community. And that's my goal, is to build a better community, have a future for our children, and that we can have a town that we're proud of. And this is what my goal is, to work with everybody on the board, with the town of Los Osos, in coming up with solutions that will create real and sustainable solutions for this town. Thank you.
Wait just a moment. Does anyone have questions for Mr. Best?
What do you think are the three biggest issues that are within the CSD's purview that need to be addressed in Los Osos?
I think the my main concern is what's happening with our aquifer. We are currently putting in 500,000 gallons of water into the aquifer today that is basically just conditioned water. It's not treated. It doesn't have all the CECs and other endocrine disruptors removed from it. And it's going into the aquifer at a much higher rate than it would be if it was just going in through the normal leach fields. And at what time is that going to create a situation where we have saturated our aquifer with our contaminants? And I feel as though we need to come up with a solution. We need to be looking to the future and not just assuming that the regulations are going to absolve us to we can put whatever we want back into the aquifer and it's not going to have any impacts. I also would like to think about the fact that we are two separate water districts, three separate water districts here in this town, and that that's not serving this town properly. We need to find a way to consolidate our water facilities so that we have one water facility that is serving the entire town, doing the best job it can to serve the public, to produce water to the public economically and efficiently. And I think the other issue is that what is going on with our homeless population, I think, is really creating a situation where we have we're really creating a lot of anxiety, fear, resentment, and hostility in this town that is really palpable. And I think that needs to be addressed. And I have some very very distinct and well thought out concepts. I've discussed this with a number of different people throughout the county, and I do have what I believe is a good, workable solution that would be not just for the short term, but for the long term, that will serve the entire town, primarily our children. The fact that we can't let our kids go out and walk in the woods or hike along the creek without fear of stepping into somebody's camp or falling into somebody's temporary latrine or getting stuck with a needle or things like that. You know, we have a responsibility to have a clean, safe neighborhood with our aquifer, with our community, and that we have the need to grow. But growth doesn't necessarily mean development. Growth means that we have a town that is meeting the needs of the community. And making the outlying areas available to us for hiking and biking and being able to get from point A to one part of town to the other without having to deal with traffic, with the seniors being able to go for rides and the bikes and things like that.
Mr. Best, yes. I think you have another question.
Yes.
Okay, my question is, we're going to establish somebody we're going to choose for a period, but it's wonderful if you sort of work with the group, with this group here, but if you want to really do this for 4 years, you're going to have to campaign. Do you have any experience in campaigning that would convince us that if you're so wonderful, you could win a seat?
In 2016, I ran for the CSD. I came in only a few hundred votes behind Miss Millage. I came in third for out of a field of five for two seats. I had a limited time to campaign because I spent a fair amount of that time having a medical procedure done, and so I was limited. So I wasn't able to do any walking campaigning. But I felt as I won the votes that I did get, I won because I had good ideas. I spent a lot of time in the parks and talking with the people at different meetings and going to the Rotary Club and to Kiwanis and talking directly to the folks there and discussing my ideas on parks and the community and the homeless and how we can be doing a better job with making this a safer community with auxiliary volunteer patrols and a number of different issues and how we're going to deal with our water issues and so forth. So I spent a lot of time talking with the public, and I spent a lot of time discussing my ideas with anybody who would listen and making myself available for any questions that might be available. So I did do a lot of campaigning.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Best.
Thank you.
Linda Ward? Is Linda Ward here? Okay. Christine Womack?
Hello, my name's Chris Womack. I'm interested in serving on the CSD board. I've been a financial advisor for 22 years, and I'd like to see our taxpayer funds spent wisely on its intended purpose to benefit the community and not spent on lawsuits. I used to live in the Golden State Service District, and I prefer living in the CSD because water rates are some of the least expensive in the county. I like the fact that we don't have to attend to shareholders who want to see growth in their profit every year at the expense of we, the water ratepayers. That said, we need to charge ourselves enough to maintain our infrastructure, to properly staff our water department, to make capital improvements as they are needed, and to work on our basin management as required by law. If we undercharge ourselves now, we're setting ourselves up to pay more in finance fees in the future, have inferior services, and not have the information we need to manage the water basin. Lastly, we need enough people in the community to step up and volunteer to make decisions for the benefit of Los Osos. I'm willing to serve. I've served on the Financial Advisory Committee for a little over a year. While there, I've helped decipher the Rabobank fees, calculate proper interest rates on the Bay Ridge loans. I've also been serving as LOCAC treasurer for about 2 years. I've been on the board of the South Bay Women's Network for about 5 years and am immediate past president. South Bay Women's Network supports local women in business. We also do community service. I have been our director of the scholarship committee for the last 3 years, finding women reentry students from Cuesta to receive scholarships to help them further their education. South Bay Women's Network also has a holiday dinner benefit, and we raise money for Slow Women's Shelter, now rebranded as Stand Strong. And we've helped with the Commission on the Status of Women's Wall of Fame event to recognize outstanding women in our community. So Los Osos is fortunate to have some very skilled people serving our community. I'd very much like to participate in that by serving on the CSD. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
same question. Three things that you think that are within our purview that really need to be addressed here in Los Osos.
It's hard for me. The number one is having a sustainable water supply. I think housing is also an issue to try to, but I'm not sure how much that's in our purview. But number one is the water supply. I don't want to be like Cambria and making jokes about showering with your friends.
Thank you.
You have a commendable series of pit stops that you have actually contributed to lots of interesting things. You are going to have to be elected in the fall if you're going to be part of us for the time that we're thinking about. So could you speak to that?
That'll be new to me. I have not run for elected office, but I'm willing to, you know, give it a go.
Same could probably be said for all of us, I would think.
There's got to be you got to have the first time sometime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Questions?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I first wanted to ask, by chance, was Ms. Ward called and invited, and maybe explain the process? Because I'm concerned that a lot of people didn't know this was happening tonight. I probably should have said this when you talked about the process, and that whether you were to appoint tonight or maybe a month from now, you would get some more applicants by opening up the time to apply window a little bit longer. Because honestly, if I hadn't been on an email blast from the district, I wouldn't have known that there'd been a resignation. I didn't see it in any press. So just to be fair and transparent, I think waiting a month is fine, and inviting Ms. Ward and explaining the process and that she probably should have been here unless some circumstances kept her from coming. I am Julie Tacker. I have lived in Los Osos since 1971. I have a long history serving in this community as a volunteer and as a citizen activist, including a 4-year term on this very board between 2004 and 2008. I served on the Emergency Services Committee for this district for 14 years up until last June. There haven't been any meetings since, so I feel like I'm still on it and just haven't missed anything. And I would advocate that that committee needs to be reinstated, and there's plenty of work to be done there. I've followed the goings-on of this district since 2002, and really have very little or no learning curve. I have been here with you through many, many decisions, and I would appreciate your consideration.
Same question from me. The top three issues.
Okay. Top three issues in this order. Money, our financial stability, and the financial health of the district is A, number one. Without it, you cannot accomplish number two, which is the water management and the infrastructure improvements that are necessary. Number three, we already have, but I would advocate continually for this district to provide the highest level of service that is economically feasible. Those are the three things: money, water, and emergency services.
Thank you.
Same question.
Same question. I have run for office before. I ran and lost in 2002. I ran and won in 2004. I ran and lost in 2016. I have tremendously thick skin. I think I have my that the expression? My thumb on the pulse of the community. I think I know this community very well, and I would be happy to. I don't have my thumb on the community at all. It's my finger on the pulse. Thank you. I guess I don't do emergency services very well. can't take your pulse with the thumb. So, but again, I would greatly appreciate your consideration. Is that it?
One last time. Anyone else? Just want to be thorough. Okay. At this time, do I have any nominations from board members?
At some point in time, before you make a vote on nominations, you're going to want to open it up for public comment, since we limited it just to the process before.
But I my question is this: if similar to when we have election to like the president and the vice president, we do that public comment after they know what the nominees are.
That's why I said at some point in time. I just wanted to make sure we didn't accidentally let it slip.
I actually wrote her a note to that effect. So.
Do it now or after nominations?
You make the decision. I'm coughing.
It's up to you.
Okay.
I guess let me make a comment before. Well, hopefully you can get through the evening here. My preference at this point is that since we only have 9 months till the new person takes office, or pardon me, 8 months, that we make the appointment tonight. So that's my preference. I just wanted to get that out there. I don't know how else everybody else feels about that, but... that's where I'm feeling. And if we want to do a nomination before we take public comment or afterwards, I mean, I'm speaking for Vicki right now. So I'd prefer to go with our normal procedure, which is we take a nomination first and then have public comment. But that's really up to the four of us how we want to do that.
So you're Vicki?
For the time being, yes.
He's my mouthpiece.
Okay. I share your sentiment of getting it done tonight if we possibly can. I think we can.
Okay. Dr. Sasana.
I'm not in a big hurry. Especially since Linda Ward hasn't been heard from. I mean, we got the application. Did we reach out to anybody and say, hey, it would be a good idea, we're going to make this appointment possibly Monday night or Thursday? Did anybody reach out to the applicants. Mr. Best seemed to think or indicate that he was just here, not expecting. So I kind of am led to believe we didn't.
Other than the advertising that we already discussed, we didn't reach out to any.
People that applied.
We didn't say
come down and
we didn't reach out to
spend
to
a few minutes
anybody.
With us no. at the next board meeting. I think that's a failure on our part. I want to hear from the people who have submitted applications. I think it's also poor follow-through to submit an application and not be at the next board meeting. So I'm not really sure. I'm just not that ready to make a decision tonight.
I would imagine that anyone who was truly interested would, in fact, have been here. If nothing else, I mean, I don't know Ms. Ward, but I'm imagining that she's not been to a meeting, and it would have been a good practice, mm-hmm. at least, to have come to this meeting, whether or not expecting to speak.
It's really only part of my concern, though. The rest is just that I think in 30 days we might have other applications. Because I did see one small newspaper solicitation buried back about the sixth page. Thanks, Neil.
I'm still going to entertain a request for nomination from board members.
Okay, do we nominate a candidate?
Yes.
I nominate Christine Womack.
Do I have another a nomination? Do I need a second for this?
No.
Thank you. In that case, we will vote.
Public comment.
Public comment. Thank you.
I know. I'll be here.
We'll
take public comment on the nomination and the voting on Chris Womack to be the appointee.
You need a second.
According to our lawyer, we do not.
Just to cut this out, I'll second it. Thank you. So we don't have to have this discussion.
Thank you.
So are you taking public comment?
Yes.
Lindy Owen, my public comment would be that this vacancy is for a short period of time, and I would really promote somebody that comes and attends to all the meetings at all times. I think Christine Womack has lots to offer, but I think there's the learning curve, and then the election in November? No, in November.
Yeah.
So at this point, why not take somebody that has the experience that's you're not going to lose a beat. And so I really support Julie Tacker as the interim, and then the election in November would be full force for Julie may not want to run, but somebody else and Christine would have a good chance then. And I also think that you could postpone this a month, but I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
So we can just stand up here and talk?
For 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes. Hello, my name is Michelle Pierce, and I'm a teacher in the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. My husband, Aaron Pierce, works for Cal Poly in the math department, and I've been Christine Womack's neighbor for 5 years. And I just think that she has an excellent head on her shoulders. She is so involved in the community. She does things that I just only dream of. I trust her, and I trust her judgment. She's a good person. So I think she will do wonders for your community services district, and I say go with her.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller. I kind of want to echo what Chuck said, and I think it would be appropriate to give this other lady the opportunity to be at the meeting, especially since she was not properly noticed to be here. Having said that, if it's your intent to go ahead, I basically agree with Lindy that having somebody who can step in and who knows the process, knows what's going on, and can take right over. And then in November, hey, the people of Los Osos decide. And all of these candidates, I think, are great candidates, and hopefully they'll all run in November. I'd like to see them all run in November. But for the time being, yeah, I would support Julie. I would. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Joyce Witt, and I'm a resident of Los Osos. And I know that Christine Womack is a very analytical person. She's very involved in this community. She's raising her daughter in this community. She's very involved in the PTA and in the Women's Network. And I think she would be an excellent addition to your board.
Richard Margetson. Before the agenda item even started, I wrote on a piece at the back of the agenda who I knew you guys would pick. You know, those of us who've been around a long time, we know where these things are going to go. We know the mentality. We know whose side someone favors. I wish we had a better pool of candidates. I wish the directors had reached out a little more to some of the people that they know have expertise in certain areas. It's a shame whatever her name is, Linda Ward, she wasn't able to be here to represent herself. No, you're not going to pick Julie, even though Julie technically is the most qualified to be on this board at this point for the interim. Chuck asked all the candidates a question on the three issues that they think are most important in Los Osos. Steve gave one answer that has nothing to do with you. Christine gave two answers, and one of them has nothing to do with you. And she touted her being on the Finance Committee. That alone should have given her all of the information of what the CSD has purview over. And housing is obviously not one of them. And as far as I'm concerned, I still go back to the audit issue. There's not anybody on that finance committee that should be sitting on this board at this point after not asking the appropriate questions on that audit. The audit is based on information provided by the district. The district provided inaccurate information. You never pursued looking into that further. You didn't want to hear the bad news, but it'll come out. It'll eventually come out. And that committee asked no questions when the audit was before them. The night that the audit was before that committee, that meeting was over in 48 minutes. That was the entire agenda. I know who you're going to pick. You already made the nomination. We know it's a shoe-in. But you have nobody on that list that knows more about this district than Julie. We know you're not going to pick her. That's probably why she didn't put an application in. But if you're really thinking about the best for this community in the interim, Julie would only be one vote. You still could vote her down 4-1. But as far as qualifications, as the elected officials for the rest of the community, picking the most qualified person, that's the most qualified person. You have three other people that have a huge learning curve on getting up to speed in a few months. And there's some major issues coming.
Thank you.
Lynette Tornotsky, I think this is a great place for someone new to step up to the plate and see how they do on the board. This is a great opportunity for someone to step in that hasn't done this before. I really am supporting Christine Womack. I think Julie is extremely qualified, but I also think that it's time we can't expect in November that suddenly everybody's going to be somebody that's in this room that's always here, stepping up to the plate to be a candidate. And I would like to see someone who's been on our finance committee. Mr. Margeson has his opinions on how that audit went down, and not everybody agrees with him. So I would say someone who's been on the finance committee, that's where we need to focus, somebody with talent in that direction. So that is why I am supporting Christine. Thanks.
Anyone else? All right, seeing no further public comment.
Close public comment.
Yes, I'm closing.
She's closing public comment. I'll try to channel you if I can.
I just couldn't finish the sentence. Okay. We do have a nomination of Christine Womack.
I'd like to make some comments.
Please do.
First of all, just as some of the people in the audience who commented, I think that I'd like to make it crystal clear to everybody in this room and watching and everybody in the community that, as far as I know, every single one of the directors right now did do outreach to people asking them to submit. So it's not like somebody said that we didn't do any outreach. We did. I know that I talked to at least 15 people. So, and I'm sure that everybody else did speak to people. So it's not like we didn't talk to people about this. So I think that that's pretty, I mean, that's something we were all working on because we wanted to make sure that we'd get the best candidate out. Could you guys be quiet, please? Thank you. So I just wanted to say that, you know, that we're not operating in a vacuum here. So regarding Ms. Ward, I think that she had the opportunity to be here, and whether she chose not to be here or whatever, as far as I know, she has not attended a meeting, and I do know her name professionally, but I don't know her, so I can't speak to that. But I would say, as far as Ms. Womack goes, she has been actively involved as a committee member on FAC, so she does have some background in that regard. So that's all I had to add.
Other comments?
Well, since I nominated her, I believe the person that we're looking at now is the most qualified. And I think we should vote this forward and get on with the rest of our year.
All right. Shall we do this by
secret ballot?
Well,
you're in control of it.
I don't like to use the word secret ballot because you can do a written ballot, but we have to know who voted which way and disclose later. Or you could do it by roll call, whatever the board prefers.
Sure. Roll call.
Let's do roll call.
Director Sasania?
I am not voting tonight. I expressed my concern about the appointment tonight all along, so I'm just not going to abstain, I guess. I don't know what that would be. It.
Okay. Director Chernotsky?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
And President Milledge?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we congratulate him?
Pardon me?
Well, at this point...
Well, we have a ceremony.
Yeah. At this point in time, I think it might be... you may decide to take a break, or you might decide to have the swearing in right now, whichever you prefer.
I think we should take a break so Vicki doesn't choke on us.
Okay. Well, we were going to have the general manager or secretary of the board give the oath of office.
Right, so it's okay. I'm not going to get better. Tonight. Eventually, I'll get better.
Well, Marshall could do it, but he just said.
No, so, yes.
I'm not Marshall.
Let's stand.
I'd like to go over by the flag, maybe.
I don't know.
Hey, just repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I'm Christine Womack.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservations.
Without any mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which.
The duties upon which.
I am about to enter.
I'm about to enter.
No.
Thank you. Good. Moving on, it's now time for public comment for items not on the agenda. Please direct your testimony to the board president, and please address the board of directors as a whole. Please state your name before addressing the board. Each person addressing the board of directors shall do so in an orderly and civil manner. And your comments are limited to 3 minutes.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and congratulations, Christine.
Thank you.
Ask me anything, anytime. I'm happy to help. Tonight, I'm passing out a sort of an audit that I've done on the low-income assistance fund expenses to date. I hope they're going to you. Take one, pass them on. I'm very concerned about this fund. Started out $169,000 back in November. Your general manager asked of your board to open a checking account for $30,000 so that she could pay contractors for sewer hookups for people who qualified for the Los Osos low income fund, as some of you are all aware. I hope you're all aware. One of the criteria was that the homeowners chose the lowest bid, and I've gone through all the bids and invoices. And in two of there are five awards of this money, and two of them did not use the lowest bid. And I just question the wisdom there. If you have a rule, why wasn't it exercised? And in January, your general manager took it upon herself to ask for another $10,000 from the source, the community foundation, without asking your board. So ultimately, there was $40,000 in that account, and then she paid out the for the five awards to the five different contractors. All told, it's just over $18,000. So there's 21-some thousand dollars sitting in that account, and she's going to be asking you what the next steps are with that. And while I appreciate asking for the next steps, I'm more concerned that steps were taken without your authorization. And she has a certain amount of spending authority. She has a certain amount of accountability. Those checks were not in your warrant register. She has not provided any true accounting. She's given you a ledger tonight in her general manager's report. She says she's going to provide you a bank statement in there. Does not do that. So I'd like you, two of you, to look into this further. Ask Ann for all the documents that I received so that you had the same materials that I was looking at when I developed this timeline for you and the accounting. So I would appreciate you look into it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Lynette Tornotsky. I'm here on behalf of the Red Barn tonight, and I'm hoping you, Renee, might have some flyers to hand out that look like this or something like that. They're in the back. Okay, good. I'm with Celebrate Los Osos, and we're having a Red Barn restoration done with funds that we got from a grant from the county. And we have a lot of volunteers that are volunteering to do the heavy-duty work, and so we're needing volunteers from Monday, April 9th through Thursday, April 19th to power wash the barn, prep work, patching, painting, detailing, that sort of work. And you don't have to get up on a ladder to do any of it. Anyway, as a bit of history on the barn, maybe to pique your interest, there was a long history of who owned it. There was a Mexican land grant, La Cañada de los Osos. But the part that might be most interesting to us is Charles and Emma Farrell bought 220 acres in 1912. They lived in a small house right where the schoolhouse is now. And they're probably the people that built the barn because Bob Yetter, our county parks guy, found a plaque on the barn with the date on it of 1919. So just to give you a little bit of history about the Red Barn, it has a capacity of 90 people, and another 100 people can be outdoors at the picnic bench barbecue area. In 2016, there were 12 music events, 21 birthday parties, 11 weddings, 7 baby showers, 36 fundraisers, memorials, and reunions. And I know I went to one of the memorials in that place, and it was a really touching place to honor somebody who had died. So there was a total of 5,793 people who used the Red Barn in 2016. I don't have the facts on 2017, but I'm sure it's similar. A lot of you are probably aware that there's a community music series, and that would greatly benefit by having a barn that wasn't so decrepit. And as you all know, it's not red, and it really needs some help. So you can find us on Facebook, Celebrate Los Osos, if you're not here to pick up one of our flyers. And I hope everybody in the audience will be willing to pick one up. If you can't do it yourself, pass it out. And CelebrateLosOsos.org is our website, and you can find information there, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, so the Red Barn might become red instead of, I guess, kind of that brown color, which would be, I think, nice. I wanted to speak a little bit on I attended the business expo, which the last minute was given a water conservation theme, and I just wanted to say I think that it was fun. It was one of the least attended expos that has happened in I think all the years that they've been doing it. And I'm just really concerned still that I don't know where we're going with this. It was fun for the kids, but not that much participation that I see. And then I don't know what the expense was, but I guess that will come out in time to see how much time was spent putting it together and organizing it and then coming up with nice little work that the children did. But my suggestion that it be conceptual so that you could then have an artist render something that actually impacts adults quickly as they drive past, if we're going to be putting these up on fences and doing more of the more of the information to the community to remind people that we are in a water crisis and we need to conserve water. The blue one that's on a fence as you enter into town catches my eye every time, and it's as simple gets. So, and I'm happy that we see other places where it's on the electronic sign. My other point that I want to bring up is I'm pretty darn upset that the $10 million, this is not in our purview, but it does affect the conservation dollars that are still were remaining to come to Los Osos to help us save our basin. Approximately $2.5 million was left that, for some reason, the county and our supervisor have refused to release to get us into complying with more efficiency in our homes. But what's happened now is that's gone because the $10 million lawsuit, because of the county's errors in working with the specialists that they had, the designers, the consultants, the oversight that they had, they failed and they did not address it. So 4 years later, that lawsuit for $23 million, which was almost the entire amount of the contract, was settled for $10 million. But the way that they're settling it is they're taking away that conservation money and they're taking away everything else that was left. It kind of leaves us in a situation where they will raise our rate. It doesn't seem like very much, but it's just the question of whether it's right that the county was responsible for putting this sewer in. They chose the techniques and the people that were hired, and because it was a complete mistake that they're sticking us with $10 million. Those of us in the prohibition will be paying that. Thank you, Ms. Millage.
Richard Margetson, two things tonight. I don't know which one to do first, but today is actually the 15-year anniversary of the first Move the Sewer sign showing up in Los Osos. 15 years ago today at 3:30 in the morning, I put two Move the Sewer signs on the Tri-W site, and by 8:30, 9 o'clock, Mr. Buell had sent somebody over from staff to take them down. The word got out to the Move the Sewer coalition, and within a week and a half, there were 100 signs up around town. Within 2 months, there were 300 Move the Sewer signs up. And within 6 months, there were 900 Move the Sewer signs up. And the following spring, there was the famous Move the Sewer photo at the park before the skateboard park was built. And we know what happened from that point forward. And I just want to remind people that project at Broderson, taking all the water, was going to be $205 a month. Mr. Buell just put out in one of his campaign pieces of literature that it's right around $157 to $160. Move the Sewer saved this town $45 a month, plus the aggravation of many redos now when we would have found out by now that Broderson wouldn't have accommodated 880 acre feet of effluent and other issues. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I woke up this morning and I looked at the calendar and I remembered the date. With my last minute changing subjects completely, this Friday and Saturday is the People Helping People rummage sale at the community center from Friday. It's from noon to 4, Saturday from 9 to 2. The proceeds from the it's at the community center. The proceeds from the event are split three ways. Community center gets a third. People Helping People gets a third, and a third goes to Needs and Wishes, which eventually trickles down to the Knorr Clinic, the new Prado Homeless Center, and Los Osos Cares. So come. We have a lot of great stuff. And if you don't find anything, we're going to have a donation jug at the front table. And we hope to see you there.
Tomorrow. Sorry, tomorrow and Saturday.
Thank you for the clarification.
Good evening. Nice to be here. I think it's the second time in 30 years. So my name is Andrea Luker. I'm a 30-year resident of Los Osos. I'm also on your Parks and Recreation Committee. Hopefully after tonight I'll remain on your Parks and Recreation Committee. I'm here this evening to ask you for your board review and comment on the draft EIR that was released for public review on March 20th, 2018 for the Morro Bay Sewer. Comments are due mid-May. You're probably wondering, Morro Bay Sewer, this isn't Los Osos. What are you talking about? So let's go back in history real quickly. In January 2013, the newly elected Morro Bay City Council majority requested the California Coastal Commission to deny the coastal development permit for the rebuild of the jointly owned Morro Bay Cayucas sewer plant. While coastal staff was not supportive of the project, the actual decision makers, the coastal commissioners, were never afforded the opportunity to discuss the project due to the unprecedented request from Morro Bay to deny their own application. The project at that point was estimated to be $37 million. The project today is estimated to be $167 million. Let's move ahead to 2018. After much hand-wringing in Morro Bay, the proposed site for the new sewer project is basically at the intersection of South Bay Boulevard and Highway 1, just north of the Bayside Care Center. If built, the sewage will be pumped uphill for almost 3 miles from a large lift station that will be located on or near the existing plant to the new proposed site. More importantly, parts of the pipeline with raw sewage in the proposed plant are less than a mile to Choro Creek and less than 2 miles to the estuary. The siting of the proposed plan is within the Morro Bay watershed. It's on ag land, and it's outside the city limits of Morro Bay. And this presents, in my opinion, a clear impact to Choro Flats, Choro Creek, the estuary, and the residents of Los Osos. The proposed location should be of concern because of the potentially significant environmental impacts, including input of pollutants to the creeks and estuary, both from normal operations and accidental discharges. Another way to say that is spills. They happen. Los Osos should be extremely proud of, we should be extremely proud of ourselves because we've made significant progress dealing with our wastewater. And now to see a neighboring community propose an industrial project on ag land in an area that could impact Los Osos seems wrong, and it's not necessary. My ask tonight is that you bring back an item before your board after staff's review of the draft EIR and consider submission of comments by mid-May, which is the deadline. I hope you decide to agendize that under your item number 14, future agenda items, and I think I'll just leave you with this could affect us, and I think it's very important for you to consider. Thank you, and have a good rest of your meeting. Well, that's good timing.
Well done. Do I have any further public comment for items not on the agenda? Seeing none, I'm closing public comment.
Are you?
I did.
That happened.
Excuse me, fire department reports.
Good evening, board. My name is Greg Alex. I'm the battalion chief for the North Coast and represent Los Osos community, and here to give my report for the months of February and March. You'll notice a change with our report. After public comment last meeting, there were a few items that were occurring that had happened in the month before that we weren't reporting on because we were delayed in our reporting. We reported 60 days behind because of our statistical reporting. And so I wanted to bring that up to date. So we've been working on that opportunity. So this month's report actually is two months of reporting. And I'll just kind of hit the highlights so because I know we have limited time here. So 9A, our emergency activity in the month of February included 123 calls, which is average. We had 79 medical aids, 2 traffic collisions, 14 incidents were reported as a fire, 5 hazardous conditions, and 19 public service assists. In the month of March, we responded to 105, and again, we respond between 120 to 100 times a month. 105 calls in March, 63 medical aids, with four traffic collisions, 10 incidents were reported as fire, six as hazardous, and 17 were public service assists. Nothing stood out of the normal, no major catastrophes exactly, just our normal routine incidents in which we provide service to the community. Administratively, we had our reserves continue through their steps. We swore them in. They completed their trainings that were required of them, and they are now in service and employees of the CSD and are serving the community as reserve firefighters at the station. In the month of February and March, both, I've been heavily active in reaching out for grants. And which we report today, we've got a couple agenda items. We received a few grants for our community chipping events, and we're excited for that. We're continuing on to move forward with some other grant opportunities that will help serve the Los Osos public. I'll jump to special programs and projects. As we talked about the grant awards, we were awarded a grant from San Luis Obispo County Community Fire Safe Council. This was for the community chipping event within Los Osos. This is the entire area of Los Osos. The entire community of Los Osos we're bringing a community-wide fuel reduction project where residents are encouraged to reduce the fuel reduction around their home, and then we have two drop-off locations and a flyer for that in which they can drop those off. That's going to occur May 7th through the 10th, and so that's for the whole community. There's a second event that was funded. That's a door-to-door chipping event. That's focused specifically for very high severity zones within the state responsibility area. That includes the Cabrillo Estates area, southern portions of Highland Drive, and then goes down into Los Encinas Drive, and that area in the eastern core side of the community. We plan to do that event May 5th through the 11th. And we'll talk about another grant that was received, but the residents can drop off the debris at the two locations in town. For more information on that, please visit the website, lososcsd.org, or you can call us at the fire station at 764-1053. And again, there's flyers online that'll give all the explanation about the types of fuel or types of vegetation that you can bring to us. You know, we don't want concrete and rebar and couches, and we're concerned about that. And so we'll have people at those locations staffing that. In February, we began preparations for the Family and Friends CPR. So we're excited that we're going to be able to present a CPR class for the community. That's going to be held on May 13th. From 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. This course is free to the Los Osos residents who are 16 years of age or older. It's a friends and family CPR that teaches the hands-only CPR CPR with breaths and clearing the airway blocks. The friends and family CPR is for people who want to learn CPR but do not need this course for completion for any job requirements or daycare or anything. This is just simply information on how to initiate a CPR should a person need that and get through that. I'll move to special programs and projects. March 23rd, we participated in the Los Osos Chamber of Commerce Business Expo that was held at the South Bay Community Center. Great event. The fellows up at the station enjoyed it. We were able to start passing out the chipping flyers as well as debut the new Medic Squad 15. We were able to give some tours of that and show the community this great new vehicle that we have that's responding and serving the community, and we're super excited about that. And with that, I'm going to end that report right there. And if you'd like any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Other questions?
One of these chipping events is it says a door-to-door?
Yes, sir.
So we're going through the neighborhoods, people bring things out to the curb kind
yes,
of thing?
Yes, sir.
And then the other one, they drop off.
Yeah, there's another agenda item, and it goes into pretty good detail, and I was going to hit that detail then, but I can explain that now if you'd like.
No, there's another agenda
okay.
item.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
That.
Thank you.
We're good? Thank you.
Thank you.
End of report.
You're waving at me, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because I'm not talking loudly.
Go ahead and take a sip of that water. Sergeant Doug Scotto with the Sheriff's Coast Station. Run through the stats here. Commander Vogue was unable to attend tonight because he had some other obligations. So in totality for last month, this is from March 1st to April 3rd stats. Calls for service was a total of 227. That's up a little bit from the last month of 187. Suspicious vehicles, subjects, circumstances, and other criminal acts, we were up to 46. Phone scams, 5 IRS scams, because we're still in that tax season, right? 1 publisher's clearinghouse, I didn't even know that still existed, and 1 grandson in jail. Again, if you receive those types of calls, it's probably bogus, and just do your be smart and do your own follow-up on that. Vandalisms, we had 6. Animal cruelties, we had 2 reported. These were dogs and vehicles, and in both cases, the animals were fine. Thefts, we had 9. Burglaries, 3. One was a bicycle in a garage, or stolen from a garage, a vehicle theft, and vehicle burglary, and 1 business burglary with no property taken. And disturbing the peace calls, we had 44 of those. So some notable incidents. On March 1st, a Morro Bay High School student who resides in Los Osos made a threatening comment to a friend about shooting some students at the school who were bullying him. Further investigation revealed that the minor had some mental health issues, and we ensured that he then received, we identified who he was, and then made sure he received mental health services. Beach Hut Deli patio area. At midnight, a man on parole was walking in the patio of the Beach Hut Deli. He had methamphetamine in his possession and an outstanding warrant, so he went to jail. On the 3rd of March, in the 1500 block of Napomo, a man wanted to commit suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. That's the fumes exuded by your car when it's running. He had his car running in an enclosed garage for about an hour, but the deputy found him in the house. He was detained for a mental health evaluation. So he lived, which is good. On March 6th, the 700 block of Santa Lucia, a boat motor, 4 horsepower Johnson, was stolen from a boat parked next to the storage shed of the victim's residence. So just because you have your boat parked right next to your house doesn't mean that they can't lift a small motor off like that. On March 20th, in the 2000 block of 10th Street, a man with a ski mask armed with a hammer and a knife was assaulting people. The deputies located the man and placed him in custody without incident. The suspect was apparently looking for a specific individual that he had a dispute with and assaulted one of his friends with the hammer, but no major injuries. And then when he was seated in this backseat of one of our patrol cars, he tried to kick out the windows and spit on one of our deputies, but he was stopped from further activity like that. And again at the Beach Hut Deli, that's a popular place. March 23rd, a transient was arrested via citizen's arrest for indecent exposure and urinating in public. So he was exposing parts, well, we discussed parts last.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
So we won't go into that again, but they called and reported. I was actually working that night. I didn't respond to that call, but my guys did, and they arrested him, and we had a good citizen's arrest on that one as well. March 26th, the 1000 block of LOVR, between 5 a.m. and 5:45, a lady had her vehicle passenger window smashed and purse stolen. Purse is their number one stolen property in our vehicle burglaries. So I'm not sure why it is that you women
think that it's necessary to leave your purse sitting on the seat and lock your car and think it's okay. It's not. Even if you take your wallet out, that's what my wife would do. She'd take the wallet out. Well, there's nothing of value in there, but that purse is just too inviting.
So don't leave your purses or any valuables in your locked vehicles, regardless of where they're parked. It's just too inviting for these crooks. On the 26th of March, the 9th Street and San Luis Avenue, deputies stopped an individual on parole for burglary. He had search conditions as a result of his parole. He was found to be in possession of methamphetamine and burglary tools, and which consisted of walkie-talkies, a Slim Jim, bolt cutters, and things like that. So he was arrested for a parole violation and the possession of narcotics. So obviously his rehabilitation in the state prison system didn't help him because he was back up to his old tricks. March 28th, Los Osos Middle School. A school janitor noticed that someone had painted graffiti on the walls of the school using a blue spray paint. Most likely a student, since the vice principal's name was painted in a not-so-flattering way. So our school resource officer, Scott Newell, he worked on the case and identified the student suspects who ultimately admitted to the crime, and one of them actually still had blue paint on his fingernails.
That's what we call in law enforcement, what?
So that's all I have for you folks. I was going to say I would be right out the door because we had a missing autistic child in North County, but luckily they just found him, so that's good. So does anyone have any questions?
No questions from the board. Thank you very much.
Awesome. You're welcome. You guys have a good night.
Once again, I have to try to follow that act. Sorry, guys. I think next month, if he's going to be presenting, please let me go ahead of him.
Okay. Got to take care of staff.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors. Congratulations to your appointment. Members of the public, good evening. My name is Jose Acosta. I am the Utility Service Manager here for Los Osos Community Service District. Tonight I'll be presenting you with our utility report for the month of February. The water production figures, we produced approximately 12.7 million gallons of water, and that equated to an average daily demand of about 453,000 gallons, and that's an increase of approximately 16.72%. That's a substantial number. Based off the previous month. So, again, conserve, please. Using the state's formula to calculate the average per capita per day for the month of February, we use about 60.7 gallons per day per person. That number does seem low, but, again, with the production figures going up, the following month is probably going to show even more usage. So let's try to continue that conserving. production and runtime by hours, as you could see, the well sites, you could see the increase in the use of each well based off of the flows. You had 10th Street, which used, I apologize. Looks like my percentages may be inaccurate here. Apologize for that. Palisades did use a little less water. The ones that used a little bit more were 8th Street and 10th Street. So I'll have to correct those figures in my database, but apologize for that. As you can see, the runtime hours on the motors themselves also reflect the usage. For water billing information, we billed for approximately 11.09 million gallons for the 2 months of December through February, generating approximately $207,000 in revenue. The utility department operations and maintenance activities that occurred in the distribution and treatment. Other than the daily, weekly, and monthly water quality sample and analysis and reporting and monitoring of all well sites and the distribution system, conducted the normal meter reading, meter changeout program, continuing on that program. They participated in online training for our computerized maintenance management system. I mentioned this several months ago. When I first got here, General Manager Osborne wanted to bring in a maintenance system that allowed the personnel to better monitor maintenance on vehicles, equipment, also parts and inventory. So we got that in a couple months ago, and the guys have been hot and heavy on inputting data onto that, monitoring the equipment, and getting that going. So, and there's training that goes along with that that they're participating in. Valve exercising program, we try to hit every valve in the system at least once a year. That allows us to exercise the valves, ensure that they're going to operate properly in an emergency situation, allow for a good shutdown. I hate to say complete because we never really get a complete shutdown when we're in that hole making those repairs, but it allows for a good enough shutdown to be able to make the repair and return the service back to normal. Couple service line upgrades at 1183 5th Street and 1373 8th Street. And when I say upgrade, what it is, we're upgrading to a polyethylene service lines, which is a heavy-duty plastic versus what's currently in the ground in the majority of the system, Schedule 40. It's a very inferior product based off of what's available, but the guys are going through replacing them with better product and should last through our lives, lifespan. Some dead-end flushing. We monitor as much flushing that we do. We reuse the water. We use a tanker truck that we'll put it in, and we'll take it and use it for watering around the yards and stuff. But we all know that we can't be flushing that water down the street. We're doing our best. But we do make dead-end flushing for water quality purposes. At those dead ends, you don't want that water to become stagnant, possibly presenting some health issues, color issues, and odor issues. So we try our best to maintain the water quality at the dead ends. The drainage. Drainage has been upgraded at 8th Street and El Moro, so that system seems to be working pretty good. We haven't had any issues, especially during the storm of during March when we had those heavy rains. Those pumps seem to be working pretty good, the new replacement pumps. Rainfall totals, as you could check the chart, for the month of February, there was minimal rain. But as you all remember, in March, we had some rain, and hopefully in April and May, we get some miracle rains as well. That's all I have for my staff report for the month of February. Do I have any questions from the board?
Thank you.
How about a training program for taking a 5-minute shower? Could we get into that?
Oh, he's not here, but someone said it earlier as far as showering with friends. I don't know. Anything else?
No.
We can work out.
Thank you.
General Manager Osborne.
Good evening, Board. Ms. Director Womack. I wanted to talk to you about the Los Osos Low Income Community Fund. As presented in front of you, as of this report, 5 of the 6 sewer laterals were completed and approved by the county. The 6th applicant had already proceeded to borrow money to have their sewer lateral installed prior to receiving our letter, and since I was not authorized to do any kind of reimbursement with that applicant, I'll be requesting direction from the board or however they want me to follow up on this program as to what to do with that applicant, to work with or not work with them. All 5 residents had their tanks sealed in place. This was not on purpose. Some of them did want to keep their tanks for future use, but once the tank is cleaned out, both the contractor and Al Septic will determine at that time if the tank is stable or not to keep around. And unfortunately, all the tanks were not very stable. And so some of them had got the sand fill, and at least one of them had to have the slurry fill because of possibility of collapsing. For the board's previous request, I'm asking the board for direction on how to proceed with the remaining Los Osos CSD low-income funding. I did receive applications after the deadline for the assistance, so we can either A, do this program again, or B, try something different. Some of the community has asked about reimbursement for people that could have applied back at the beginning. So there's different ways to do this. At this time, I've spent approximately 16 hours on this program, and so we will need to discuss as well how we're going to use billing, how we're going to bill against this particular fund. And attached is on the back, it happens to be on the back if your board pack was printed back in front, is a summary of the checks that were used and the deposits. And the bank statement, we weren't able to download it from the website to get the actual bank statement part, so that's why that's not in there, but it will be in next month's board packet. And if you do turn to the back page, as you will notice, we've had two deposits total, just two. The first one was the $10,000 in January that we received, and then the other one was in March. And as noted in the February general manager's report, I did mention that I had received a call from the Community Foundation, and they were about to have a board meeting. And if we were going to get any more money at that, any time within that next moment, I needed to make a decision to ask for some additional money in case we, you know, to pay the remaining of the other applicants at that time. So as I presented to you at the February board meeting, that I had asked for that amount of money, for the extra money for that. And so one of the problems we had as well that I mentioned in the general manager report was that we were, a couple of the sewer laterals were starting to go wrong. There were some change orders coming around the corner. And so that's the other reason why I wanted to make sure we had enough money to pay the contractors. We did have two particular contractors that we chose a different bid other than the lowest bid. And one of them, in particular, for applicant number three, they had a really bad root problem. And if the root was not avoided correctly, the tree would fall. And so we did have the applicant was really concerned about that, and the county got involved and made, you know, and brought up a comment about that as well. And Tut happens to be an arborist, certified arborist, and he could guarantee us for an extra $125 that he would avoid those roots and make sure that that tree was stable. And we were right around the corner from rains, so Jose and I looked at both bids thoroughly. And we made that decision to go with the one for a little bit more security for this gentleman's home. As far as one of the other applicants going a little higher than the total bid, the original bid was higher. And this applicant also had some issues while they were doing that particular sewer lateral. So it ended up with a change order, and that's what brought it over. But other than that, I believe at this point we are completed with those six applicants, even though we only completed five of the sewer laterals. And you are to give me direction at that point when you're ready to do so and what you want to do next. And as far as the rest of my report, let's close my book. D. Water conservation campaign. President Millage and Director Cesenia presented awards to two of the six conservation entry winners at the Las Losas Baywood Park Business Expo. The middle school submitted seven water conservation videos, and each group received an award as well. And the conservation video and logo entry, we'll be posting them every month, about every other month, on our website, on Facebook, and on Channel 20. So that everybody can see those. And we did meet our goal of $2,000 sponsorship money, which was specifically intended to pay for the entry winners. It was specifically for that. And any leftovers would be on printing up posters and such. So we have the chamber has $700 left over. And so at the next chamber meeting, they'll be discussing next steps, and I'll get back to you on that as well as to what we'd like to do. As far as fire, we've been working on the reserve totals, and so that we can transfer all that money into their own bank account. I've been working with the chief on the upcoming May chipping event, and we have started working on the budget. Staff and bookkeeping, staff has started working on the budget for the 2018-2019 fiscal year. We've also been working on cleaning up some more duplicate GL codes that we have within the budget. We have definitely found some more of those, and so we're working on finding the right GL code and just using that. And there's a couple of GL codes that don't work, so we're cleaning that up and trying to make those changes as well. And the bookkeeper and I have been working on the reserve accounts and confirming their accuracy with MIP. And that is all. Although I do have a question for the board at that point regarding the low income assistance fund and what we'd like to do.
That's on our work program for the Financial Advisory mm-hmm. Committee, so I'd assume
Good.
We're going to talk about it at that point.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you said that. Do you guys have any questions? Anything? Nothing?
I see head shaking. No.
Okay.
LOCAC report.
Hi, Lynette Tornotsky. I'm the Secretary of LOCAC because neither Julia Oberhoff or Larry Bender could make it tonight, and it was a recordly short meeting, less than an hour, highly unusual. We did not have a highway patrol report. We didn't get a county staff report. We did get our deputy's report. And so Supervisor Bruce Gibson had quite a lengthy explanation about the settlement of the ARB lawsuit for $9.95 million, and that money was paid out of the county general fund reserves, and it pays the last bill on the Los Osos sewer construction costs. And so he's been working with outside agencies to try and figure out how we could get this money paid back without dinging us anymore. There's two things he could do. He could refinance with the State Water Board with our loan that we have, lower the interest rate. That would be one way. Otherwise, they could raise the rates that we now pay up to the limits that we agreed to vote on the 218 vote back in 2008 or whenever that was. So that is yet to be determined, but of course we will have to pay it back. He went to the Coastal Commission meeting in Oxnard and had quite a lengthy tussle there on the siting of a vacation rental in Cambria, which of course is a big issue at LOCAC right now at the Land Use Committee. He also talked quite a bit about the new library that we will be getting, and apparently they have determined quite a bit about where it's going to be sited, but he was reluctant to allow one of our LOCAC members who was working on that to spill the beans on when this is going to happen. So it will be coming in the next 2 months. They'll let us know what's happening with our library. They're moving ahead, and they're looking to see where they can get some additional funds to pay for it, although the Friends of the Library and the county are going half and half, and it's pretty much paid for. Let's see. We had a very lengthy report from our fire chief, Greg Alex, and he came up with something that was new to a lot of us about wood chips, and I was kind of hoping I could ask the question to have him explain the amount of distance between the wood chips in your house, which is 30 feet, but he could probably explain that better than I could. So since it is something that we have been using extensively to conserve water around our plants, we are now finding out that it's not really a very safe thing to do, but if you choose to ask him to come up, maybe he could fill in a little better on what that's about. And we're having upcoming elections for LOCAC. There's 4 seats that are open, 1 in each district. You can go to our website to see what that's all about. We haven't really set any dates. I'm not on the election committee because my seat is up if somebody wants to run against me, so I can't be on the committee. So I don't quite know what's happening yet. But look on our website, locac.info. And do you have any questions? Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you. Chamber of Commerce.
Madam President, Board of Directors, member of the public, I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to thank the CSD for participating in last week's Business Expo. It was great to see all the videos and the kids up there getting awards and that sort of thing. And thanks to Cal Fire for being there. We really appreciate it. We've got a – The Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce has a fully escorted tour of the beautiful Amalfi Coast. It's going to happen October 24th of this year. There's a travel presentation to learn more about it. And it'll be held Monday, April 9, at 5:30 p.m. at the Los Osos Chamber. For more information, you can contact the chamber at 528-4884. I think we've already got three people going, so off to a good start. Well, we've talked about paint the red barn red, and so the chamber's urging people to step forward and help out with that. And then we've got a mixer, business mixer, at Spring Fling Mixer at St. Benedict's Episcopal Church at Los Osos Valley Road and Clark Valley Road. And that'll be happening at April 11 from 5:30 to 7. So that's next Wednesday. One thing also that's going on, and it's kind of related to St. Benedict's, the Reverend Carol Hall, she's kind of spearheaded the warming center that we've been having over in the community center for the homeless when it's either below 40 degrees or it's raining. And so, we've had quite a bit of rain here lately, and there's going to be some rain tomorrow night. But we can't open the center unless we have one adult female and one adult male to kind of be monitor to all this. What happens is there's a group of people who will come in. Well, they put a sign out to let the homeless know, and word gets around town. But they'll put a sign out, and then folks come in to bring something to eat, you know, dinner. Sometimes it's just as simple as pizza, things to eat and drink. And then there's two volunteers who will spend the night in there, and they lock the door, I think, at 9 o'clock, so nobody's coming in the middle of the night. Everybody's safe. And then in the morning, there's a group that comes in and gives them breakfast. So tomorrow night, it could be the last night. We're kind of getting late in the year, the rainy season. Tomorrow night, we need one male volunteer. So if you know anybody who would like to get involved with this, and help Director Cecina has helped out with that, and appreciate that. So anyway, if you know anyone who might be able to do it, just you can get a hold of me or Reverend Carol. That's it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We have a new report this evening that will be ongoing from the Los Osos Fire Safe Focus Group and Chairperson Wright.
I'm not the chairperson. My name's Tom Wright, and I'm a brief update on the recent actions of the focus group. Chipping, big topic tonight, coming to a vacant lot near you in a collaborative style rarely seen today, not just here but globally. The CSD, CAL FIRE, South Bay Fire, the Focus Group, the Fire Safe Council, State Farm Insurance with NFPA have all come together to pay for the chipping event for the entire community of Los Osos. So thank you, CSD. Thank you, everybody that's been participating with that. It's May 5th through the 11th. I have flyers. Anybody like a flyer? We're still waiting to hear from Supervisor Gibson's office on any interim actions that can be taken in the preserve area above Highland to lessen the fuel loading in that area adjacent to the houses. We're waiting for the habitat conservation plan, and that's in the works somewhere. But there is good news. Several reports of the snail counters have been seen in the preserve area. Just hope they're watching where they're walking. State Senate Bill 1079, I have information here, allows state agencies such as CAL FIRE to prepay grants to communities like Los Osos, so we don't have to come up with $11,000 for our chipping event. They can prepay us, so we can do work ahead of time, get it all set. It's not a big deal for an $11,000 grant, but like in Cambria, where the Fire Safe Council is doing $500,000 worth of work, it's nice to have a little bit of money up front to get contractors in to do work. That was how business was done previously. A lawyer reading their rules said, hey, you know, it doesn't say that you can do that. So therefore, they stopped giving money ahead of time. So Senate Bill 1079 allows them to give money ahead of time. The focus group, for those of you that don't know, we work in partnership with the SLO County Fire Safe Council and to bring grant monies into SLO County, Cambria, even into Los Osos. Some of the SRA money that our residents paid, we're bringing that back as chipping and in other projects. So we do get some money back that we paid. The focus group consists of a group of people here in Los Osos who are concerned about the potential of a disastrous wildland fire event in our community. Santa Rosa, Montecito, it happens. It can happen here. We partner with CAL FIRE, and at the Fire Safe Council level, we partner with the stakeholders, U.S. Forest Service, Fish and Wildlife, State Parks, PG&E. Everybody comes together and discusses and comes up with things we can do to eliminate the potential of having another Santa Rosa. The meetings are open to the public. Our next meeting is April 19th at 11 a.m. at the South Bay Training Center. Any questions?
Questions from the board? Thank you. Director Chernotsky. Pardon me? Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation.
Your committee report.
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. Then we'll.
I can do a little update for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two things. They'd like to the Parks and Rec looked at the lease for the dog park, and they wanted to add some language to it regarding the permitting and the ATP costs. And so what we'll do is, since we're not allowed to use Roy without your permission, what I was going to do is go to the county first and fill them out on what rules they have on doing something like that, and then I'll bring it back to the board, and then we'll wait for you to give us direction if we're allowed to use Roy to start you know working on language and stuff to change the lease agreement. But I thought I'd do it the other way first. That won't cost us any money up front. And then the only other thing was that they added to their work plan. They'd like to add a couple of items. So would we do that right now during Parks and Rec, that, or should we wait till we talk about the work plan?
Well, you can mention what the committee said. Okay. It's just not on for action at this point.
Okay. They'd like to add recommendation, investigate possibilities for future community gardens, recommendation investigation for future pocket parks and trails, recommendation for interim dog park. In case we can do something else while we're waiting for the HCP, if there's something else out there that we can use temporarily, and recommendation for preservation of green space. And those were their requests.
Thank you. Director Cesena.
Oh, Utilities Advisory Committee met the third Wednesday of last month, and we had a Basin Management Committee update, and basically there, the thing talked about was the rebate program that has been approved by the Coastal Commission. There is money that the county has available for ongoing upgrades to washing machines and the things that didn't get covered by the required sewer work. Hot water recirculating pumps, I think, are a big one over there. We also talked about our work plan for the year. We heard from Jose about the utility issues that you're going to hear about are on consent calendar, actually, a couple of vehicle purchases, one truck bed and a whole truck. The key thing that we talked about was the rate stabilization reserve fund. That has reached its, well, we thought it had reached its goal, its intended goal. We had in our reserve policies established the fact that we wanted to set aside $32,000 a year in the rate stabilization reserve fund, primarily for times when water sales weren't meeting the revenue needs. And we had a goal of 10% of the annual operations and maintenance budget. I think we were supposed to have that much money in that reserve fund. We've passed that amount, but we're not sure by how much because it depends on how you define annual operations and maintenance. Are your financing of loans for capital improvements, is that part of your annual operations? Is the administrative draw part of the annual operations and maintenance budget? And we kind of took a swipe at that, but as was pointed out at finance committee meeting a couple weeks later, we didn't really, I don't think, drill down into that. So we're going to take another crack at it, I believe, later on. And that was pretty much was a good meeting, actually. We have a good committee.
Director Ohilski.
Okay. Yeah, I have the next two items because I have basin management after financial advisory.
You're a very busy man tonight.
I think that we had financial advisory committee meeting, and I'll just run through this briefly. Regarding the warrant registers, which on the consent agenda, the committee recommended approval. The financial reports, we had a good discussion regarding some restructuring of the report, which is ongoing as we speak. The goal is by the time we enter into next year's budget year that we'll have all these things in place that make it more logically coherent. Is that a good way to put it? So that's something. So they did recommend also that you take, receive, and file the financial reports. The utility vehicles that Chuck already talked about, the finance committee did recommend that both those items be approved. There was some modification after it went to the utility advisory before it came to FAC, but it was actually a better deal than utility advisory had looked at. So we think that that's the proper, the purchase of both the utility vehicle and the truck bed are the proper things to do in accordance with what's on the consent agenda. The rate stabilization reserve fund, it was referred to the finance advisory after it went through utility advisory. As Chuck already mentioned, there were some questions about what should be considered in the operational budget. So it's going to go back to utility advisory and then come back to finance advisory and then come back to the board. So I think everybody was pretty much on board with the fact that there's some additional questions that need to be answered before we move forward on that. So that's something that's going back. And there is one other item, two other items we talked about. The money markets for district fire reserves, which is an item on the agenda, 11G, which we'll be asking you to continue because the finance committee had some questions about interest rate and protection of the funds, et cetera, that staff is researching. So that will be coming back to finance committee next month. So and I will be polling 11G to continue it when we get to that point, but that was a recommendation of the Financial Advisory Committee. And then the work program, we did discuss that, and I'll go into more detail when we get to 12G about that. Then, if I'm done with that, can I move right on?
Move right on.
Okay, Basin Management Committee met. Basically, it was a relatively short meeting. We had an update on the basin plan infrastructure projects as those are moving forward, and just some discussion about how to restructure the presentation of those items. We had a discussion about the boundary modifications that are going to the Water Board, going to the Board of Supervisors. There's a local meeting. This has to do with the fringe areas. There's a local meeting, and unfortunately, I forgot to bring that info with me. Do you know when the fringe meeting is?
There was one on the 26th.
Oh, they already
somewhere around there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So they had the fringe meeting. There was there was two areas within the current area that was asking to be removed, and then setting up a separate sub area, basically up to Warden Ranch on Los Osos Creek. So that's going forward. That will go to the Board of Supervisors, I think in July, if I'm not mistaken. So it's moving along slowly. Water conservation update, we do have a ad hoc committee that's working on water conservation. There is work on setting up a program and a community event where we will sit down and have informational session on conservation measures that everybody can take advantage of, as well as probably we'll have some booths or tables where people can sit down and talk about various things. But we've been working on that, so that's coming forward. And then last but not least, we approved the groundwater basin modeling for adaptive management. So that was the last item, which was something that the Los Osos CSD approved at our previous meeting. So it was nothing for a surprise. So that was it, and I think that's pretty much it. I guess it was already brought up, but I'll bring it up again. The wastewater plant right now is generating, as of that meeting, 50.1% of what the projection was at that time that the plant was put in operation. So Brodersen is starting to be actually showing the effects of the discharge at this point, but we're putting a lot less water in there than had been anticipated when the project, not we, but the county is putting in a lot less water than had been anticipated at the time the project was approved. So that's it.
Other directors' announcements? Reports on attendance at public meetings, etc.?
Well, I went to the Integrated Regional Water Management meeting yesterday. Was that yesterday? It kind of gets fuzzy. But Renee was there, and she's going to give the report.
Thank you. It was mostly about grants, so that's why I think it was like it. I've been attending the sub-grant meetings, and so they went over. They're finally releasing more information on the Prop 1 grant funding for the implementation of projects, which is pretty much construction. So the county also released. They were also given from the state the initial guidelines and some approximate deadline dates. So the more important thing here of the whole thing was that we're allowed to submit projects that started as of January 1st, 2015. So that means that we'd be able to submit the 8th Street project, even, you know, at the bare minimum in its second stage that we're in right now. So we're excited about that. It's something that I had already done. I had already submitted quite a few other projects. But more importantly, we finally found out if we're allowed to do that or not, and they told us that we are. So, and I'm also on the grant selection committee for which projects to select. I'll be working on that this month. And so that's where we are on that. And we also turned in a stormwater grant request because I had this idea and passed it by Jose and Rob regarding our outfall lines and redirecting the stormwater to the wastewater treatment plant. And there's still a lot of concept to work out, but that's what we submitted as far as stormwater grant that kind of came quickly. They gave us like 2 weeks' notice that it was out there, and so that's what we submitted. But that's what we just spoke about at that particular meeting.
The Prop 1 grant issue, it seemed like in the past we'd been told that none of our projects were suitable because it wasn't for funding water supply projects. was for water quality type things. And so the 8th Street, maybe with the potential denitrification facility, that's maybe how they decided to look at that one?
Rob and I got a little creative on that. And so there, we approached it a couple of different ways. And now that they came out with the other qualifications regarding climate change and just there's that list that they were talking right. about and how they arranged the importance of it. And so the importance of how they arranged the point system on that is work in our favor.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. So there's different ways that we can gain points that particular project can gain points. Yeah.
Any other director comments on meetings and training programs and so forth? Okay. And we don't have any questions, so we don't have any answers. Is that correct? All right, cool. Before we move on to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, are there any items anyone would like to pull from the consent agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to pull and continue item 11G and item 11J, which both Chuck and I already spoke about.
Okay. And you have noted down that information.
Let's pull.
Yeah, thank you. I know. I just like to check out loud. All right, then I'll take public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, except, of course, for items that were pulled.
G and J.
G and J.
Yeah. I just can't read what I wrote down. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Good boy. All right, and you have 3 minutes for your comments.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and yes, I'm particularly interested in your general manager's report regarding the low-income assistance community fund. You know, in times past, you've had ad hoc committees for this low-income assistance fund. I think it's time to reengage the board members in that. Even though the Finance Committee may take it on as part of their work plan, I think it needs your oversight. The idea that the general manager has spent just 16 hours on the program doesn't kind of wash for me. She began work on this in August, so August through March is 2 hours a month. It's highly unlikely that is the case. So I think she needs to recalculate her time on that. And then you absolutely do have to figure out how the fund is going to pay for her time. That conversation just isn't here. I would think if she's asking you questions about what to do about maybe a reimbursement or that kind of thing, the things she asked you tonight, she simply needs to agendize it with a staff report and let you understand what's going on and then ask the question for further direction. Not during a consent item during her report does she ask for your direction, because you don't have all the facts in front of you. With regard to the work on the water conservation campaign, the kids' work is great. I think putting stuff on Channel 20 is terrific. The participation from the chamber, all good. What you have is a water conservation line item in your budget. So how much staff time has been burned from the water conservation expected, from that what you expected? What's left for actual fixtures or timers or, you know, the stuff you have at the back of the room for, you know, free shower heads and whatever? How much time has your staff spent on this? Ms. Osborne said at a Finance Committee meeting, I think a month ago, that she wasn't tracking her time on that and didn't have to because she felt it was part of her job. Well, it's also part of her job not to go over budget on something. And her time has value, and it should be parsed out to the funds in the manner in which you have your administrative draw allocations. So that is important to track that.
Thank you. Lindy again. I guess I'm mostly concerned with the 16% increase in water draw from the basin. And last month it was something similar. So obviously we are, whether we're just, and this is a month that we had rain to speak of to some degree, or maybe it fell in between some of the rains that we've had. But I think we really, you know, this is all fine and dandy, but I'd like to see some banners. They run about $50 to $70 a piece. I'd really like to see some banners going up around town. I don't know how else you get to people. Nobody watches a lot of television. Nobody watches our website. That is not going to do anything to get people to think outside the box about how much water they're using. And then the rate stabilization money obviously is filling up because we're getting a lot more money for the extra water that we didn't anticipate people having to use. So, again, I think just to stabilize rates in the future so we do not have to raise them until the last minute, but in anticipation that the 16% seems to be ongoing and we're just now beginning to enter into summer, means I think we need to really get some banners out and do a little bit more than the one-time event. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. The Finance Committee report is a perfect example of why the Emergency Services Committee should continue. You pulled two items. One of them probably could have been ferreted out at the Emergency Services Committee before it ever got to finance, on placing the reserves in a money market with Premier Bank as opposed to possibly putting it back in the local agency investment fund. That report and it being on your consent calendar probably would have happened if that meeting had not been held, the finance meeting had not been held, and there hadn't been public input. Public input in this community has made a great difference over the years. And on this particular item, the difference between what Pacific Premier Bank was offering and what we possibly could get from the local agency investment fund is the difference in interest on that amount is somewhere between $16,000 and $18,000 annually. That right there pays for the committee being the formation of the committee, any costs that the committee, running that committee, staff time. Right there, that's one example. That's a minor example. I can bring up example after example over the years where the committee has saved the district money. But that, the timing of that on Monday was, to me, was a perfect example of why all committees need to still be in place and they need to meet annually. If public input and that item had not been on the Finance Committee, this board would have accepted staff's recommendation and would not have known to look further into it, and the district would have been at a disadvantage of somewhere in the range of $16,000 to $18,000 annually. Could I make a comment here? That item is on the agenda, so this is not the time to speak about that, if that's what you got up to speak about.
Well, I think I'm talking about the fact that you did talk a lot, I'm Vita Miller, about finances, and I didn't hear one word about the fire department budget in your discussion, and yet we were told we don't need to talk, we don't need an advisory committee because the finance committee will settle all of the budgetary issues regarding the fire department at Cal Fires. And so that's what I'm speaking, and I will get up and speak again, but Richard just kind of clicked something in my mind that you didn't make any mention of Cal Fire budget in any of your report. And I think that's, and I will get up and speak again, but that is another reason why you do need an emergency services committee.
Do we have any other public comment? Seeing none, I'm closing public comment. Do I have a motion to accept the consent and admin reports, consent agenda and the admin reports?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to go ahead and receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda with the exception of 11G and 11J. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's resolutions.
Resolutions. I'm so sorry.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Tornowski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of D.
President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you. You have another.
Yes, I vote yes too.
Her first vote, she doesn't get to take it.
I am so sorry. Director Womack.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. Moving on to general action items.
Could I make a request, first of all?
Yes.
I know under the Brown Act we have to take comments on G and J, even though I'm recommending they be continued. So could we just move those up now to see if anybody has additional comments to get those off our plate, please?
The board can allow for comment, but actually the Brown Act says you have to have comment before you take action. So technically when you remove something and you're not going to be taking action on it, you don't have to have public comment. That doesn't forbid you from having more.
All right. Okay. So we're done with G and J then.
If the board wants to be done with G and J, you're done with G and J.
I think Chuck and I are done.
For tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to move that along. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It would be different had you pulled them for action.
Okay. Done for now.
We're moving on to our general action items. And again, we'll take public comment. Again, 3 minutes. Again, directed to the board of directors as a whole. I'm sorry.
Are you on 12A?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You don't have a staff report to open the item? 12A.
Introduction, first reading.
Yeah, there should be something.
Wait.
Manager present and then do
I'll just interject. I will be giving the staff report on item 12A. I'm going to be very brief. What's before you is a proposed set of changes to Title II to your ordinances. Ordinances for this body take two readings. So right now the magic lingo from a lawyer perspective would be to introduce for first reading by title only. What that means is that tonight you are free to discuss all the proposed changes. You can actually make alterations and changes yourself, and it still will be the first reading. We come back at your next regular meeting for second reading. At that point in time, we would ask you to adopt it on second reading. When that comes back, you're free to make changes if you want to, but that makes it a new first reading instead of a second reading. So you'll get that brief staff report when it comes back. Basically, this item came to your staff's attention because the language in Title II was different than the newly changed mandated state codes on plumbing. And so your staff reviewed Title II to make the Title II comport with the new plumbing code changes and also make other cleanup and technical changes that they've recommended. And I, because I don't do water, I leave it to Mr. Acosta to answer any questions you have on the actual proposed changes themselves.
This is all the offshoot of that Third Street issue, the fire sprinkler, the second meter, that kind of thing. We found out that there was some discrepancy between state requirements and what we were looking at. I mean, we've talked about this.
Yes, sir. I mentioned it at last board meeting. There was some discrepancy, and we allowed the customer to move forward, assuming we were going to make the changes to the code.
Right.
And we did update the language in the code for you to review, and it's in there. There's two major changes in the code, real quick, is the one to the fire sprinkler service plumbing and also one to water meter clearance, keeping it clear, overgrowth, and dirt, and making sure that the customer's not throwing wood chips. That's a big thing. But wood chips and other items on the meter box, because we do have to have free access to our meters. So we did update the language on that. Cleaning up the Title II to remove sewer language, because it's no longer something that we're responsible for and it's not in there. And also, a while back, the cleanup on the conservation plan was done, so we're reintroducing that into the cleanup of Title II.
Any other questions or comments?
I have no other questions, comments, or suggested changes even.
Good.
Looks good.
Wonderful.
Let's get in accordance with state law.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It does seem like the right thing to do.
Public comment?
Yes. I will take public comment at this point. I see no public comment. I'm closing public comment on this item, moving on to item B.
What? No.
Well, we'd want to.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 2018-01.
I'll second that. So you need a second?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornowski?
Yes.
Thank you. President Millage?
Yes.
Moving forward here.
The California Special Districts Association call for nominations for Coastal Network Seat A. And I'm turning that over to you.
Marshall, did you want to talk about this?
Yes.
Yes.
Being the president of the local chapter,
yes.
I know what it so basically, this is the seat A, which is the Coast R area, obviously, the Coastal Network. The incumbent is rerunning, so I don't see any reason. She's done a good job. I don't see any reason to have a nomination unless somebody has some reason to want to run at this point.
Do we have any discussion amongst the board members?
No.
All right. Do we have any public comment on this item? All right, moving on. So I will entertain a motion.
If you take no action at all, you simply made no nomination, and there's So we don't have to have a motion to take no action. Okay. Tried English.
So much better. All right, no nominations. Moving on to item C, a similar item for the Local Agency Formation Commission, district member ballot.
And I believe Marshall has a comment on this.
Being the representative of special districts to LAFCO, yes, I can speak about this one too. Right now we have two regular members and one alternate member. The regular members are Robert Ennis from Cayucas and myself. So the alternate member just attends when neither of us can show up, for lack of a better term, or if we have a conflict and we have to recuse ourselves. So we have two people running, Ed Eby from Napomo, who's been in the past, he's been a commissioner, and he's the alternate right now. Well, his term expired, so he's the alternate. I don't know what you'd call that. He was the last alternate. So there's Ed Eby, and the other guy's name slips my mind right now.
Dan Burgess.
So when we had our annual meeting, we take nominations, and these two parties were nominated. We take a vote at the meeting, but unfortunately we didn't have a quorum to be able to elect, because it takes we have a whole bunch of districts like cemetery districts and that don't come to those meetings. So we had to send it out for a mail ballot. So that's where we are right now. I have no recommendation to make in this regard. So, and I know Lou was at the meeting, and you heard both of them speak, so I don't know if you have any recommendations. All I can say is Ed's been on there, and he has the experience. So I don't have anything else to say at this point.
So since our direction says consider a vote.
I hope we vote, because I don't want this not to have enough ballots come.
Yeah, at some point, we should be participating in as often as we can in these kind of things, the CSDA nominations as well, or we'll maybe be disinvited from the party next time. You never know.
No, LAFCO, we definitely need the vote. So, yeah. Like I said, Ed Eby's been a member before, and he's the alternate right now. So, I don't know, Lou, you were there, and you heard both of them speak, so.
Yes, I heard them.
Okay.
This was... Never mind.
Okay. Is there public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll move on.
No, we got to take a vote. We got to have some
ballot. I'm moving on my list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know we have to do something. I don't think my fever's that high. I'm just going to ask this for form. Is there any further board discussion? Didn't think so. So now I'll entertain a motion. To make a nomination.
Or to vote.
To vote on...
One of the candidates.
One of the candidates.
So wait, can I ask a question?
Of course.
I don't know.
So we're choosing between one of these two?
Yes, that's it.
And Lou, you didn't differentiate between either of them? You heard them both.
I'm not sure what the hell we're doing.
Did you have a preference, I think, is what she's
yes.
asking. You heard both individuals speak. Was there anything about one of them that stood out to you?
Not really.
Well, like I said, other than Ed has the experience, that's...
So I heard that would be your recommendation. Okay. Thank you.
You could make a motion that the board cast their ballot for insert the name.
It's kind of what's right here. I mean,
it's pretty much there.
Marshall obviously doesn't want to make every motion tonight, even though this is near and dear to his heart, so I'll do this for him.
Okay, good.
I move that the board direct general manager to submit the completed ballot for Ed Eby as the alternate special district member for LAFCO.
I'll second.
I just feel sort of a conflict because I'm on LAFCO. You understand where I'm coming from.
I never knew you got conflicted.
My term's up in December. So.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm abstaining.
So we have four ayes and one abstention. Okay. Our next item, item D, is to consider authorizing a letter of opposition to offshore drilling. We have some choices here, at least two. We can either send a letter on behalf of the district, or we can authorize directors to send individual letters as board members. So, what do you think?
I think we should speak as the entire group with fiery prose, as this means a lot.
Yeah, I think we'd be better speaking
as... The words should jump off the page and burn.
Not burn.
No.
I
think speaking as a united voice would be better if we could reach that consensus.
I think the only concern I have here, and now I'm going to really step into it here, being on the estuary program, but I think one of the things that I've been raising over an extended period of time is things within our purview. Now, when we did the recommendation to rename the peak, which we ultimately found out was the wrong peak, which... That was kind of bizarre, but I raised that issue at that time. I think this is closer to our purview, but I think if we're going to send a letter as the board, and I have no problem with this having a strong letter, but we just have to make sure that it's crafted in such a way that it stays within our purview, for lack of a better term. I mean, obviously, any spills we could get into the bay would impact us significantly, but I just want to make sure that it's not just a general letter, but it's something that has to do with our purview. That's my only concern here.
I just heard it. Yeah, I volunteered to write it.
Director Womack, do you have any comments on this?
No, I think that's a good point.
What he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're going to write it, Chuck, I'll be happy to look at it, so I have no problem with that.
I was going to defer to the... liaison to the National Estuary Program, figuring that he would have the greatest insight as to the programs and projects that could be affected.
Yeah. Can Lou add the fiery language?
If you want me to write a letter, I'll write a letter.
Oh, we'll work it out. That's not a problem. I just want to make sure. I have no problem with it being a fiery letter. I just want to make sure we're not stepping outside our purview. So. Obviously there's significant impacts that would be in there if there was an oil spill and the oil got into the bay. So
yeah, I think it's well within our purview given our susceptibility.
I just want to have a general statement in that
one. Fine. That's why you get to write it.
Okay.
And I'll edit it.
Okay.
And we'll have Blue edit it too. Well, okay.
Can I say something here?
Yes, of course.
The stack of letters that are used as examples, they're all over the map in terms of what kind of entities they are. One thing that we could do is just pick out themes and try to place us in that sort of group of text and make it have our own particular flair, whatever the heck that is.
Yeah, I've already been looking at all the letters we've gotten, been doing some cut and pasting, so we're not we're not starting from scratch.
How was that?
I would entertain a motion.
Yeah, motion, public comment.
Have I not done that? I'm so sorry.
Wake up.
Tom Wright, Los Osos. The board represents the community of Los Osos, and I hope that all of you have gone out and asked community members how they feel about the letter you're going to write, because you might be surprised at the answer. So just think about the community as a whole that you represent before you go saying Los Osos is vehemently opposed to whatever it is, or in favor of it, for that matter. Ask the community. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tony Salome. I started this whole thing a month ago, and I wanted to thank the board and President Millage for putting it on the agenda. As I said a month ago, I think that you are aware of what the dangers are if we had offshore oil drilling, so I don't need to go through that today, although, strangely enough, I just got an email about oil spill in Indonesia. The headline is pretty bleak, oil everywhere, people dying. People can't breathe, and is it something that we want to take a chance of? So I think you all agree that we do want to take a stand, just like every other community up and down the coast of California. I have been gathering letters of support from members of the community. You've received a lot of them yourself. I have a stack more here tonight that I would be happy to give you. In addition, I have additional copies of letters and also resolutions from towns, probably more than you have there, and I'll give you those. And certainly you can draw from that and have plenty of information about what we should and should not do. Thank you.
So I'm Vita Miller, and I want to speak in favor of your proposal here to draft a letter in opposition to the current administration's plans to open up our coastal waters to offshore oil drilling. I would have preferred a resolution, however, a letter that addresses the same issues and signed by all of you, I think, is probably going to be adequate. As far as a matter of jurisdiction or within your purview, I would say that the ocean is within our jurisdiction. The ocean, the ecosystem, affects all of us, and if we destroy the ecosystem of the ocean, we will destroy our own lives, and we will no longer be a species on this planet. So this three-mile limit, to me, that really means nothing. That's just totally arbitrary, and obviously any kind of major oil spill, we would be affected by it. Our commerce would be affected by it, and obviously our environment would be affected by it. The Coastal Commission has taken a strong stand. I was at the meeting in Cambria, and their resolve regarding this topic was palpable, and I believe they're doing everything in their power to make sure that no oil rigs appear off our shores, regardless of whether they're 3 miles or beyond 3 miles. And in regard to the matter of how the public feels about this, I did present you with a letter. The Public Policy Institute of California has been taking a survey for many, many years. And last year, there was a record percentage of opposition. 69% opposed the president's directive. And to quote from the study, a surprising level of agreement on the topic occurred across all major demographic categories of California residents, including Republicans, Democrats, and independents. All citizens of these United States have a constitutional right and responsibility to object formally to a policy or directive that may have catastrophic results affecting our families, our neighbors, and even more importantly, dire consequences to this very planet that we all live and depend on. I'm urging your board to demonstrate the same resolve. Pass a motion to send a letter of opposition to this preposterous proposal of opening up our sacred surrounding coastal waters to any manner of oil drilling, now and in the future. Thank you.
Bravo.
Lindy, I just completely support that you do write the letter and each of you sign it as long as nobody has any opposition. And I wanted to also have you consider including the fact that when we do oil platforms or consider oil platforms, we also do seismic testing. And seismic testing is basically blasting along the ocean floor. And they're not going to install platforms until they know where to put them, and they will do that testing. So if you could include seismic testing that comes along with the proposal for any platforms, I think that strengthens the letter. And I think you can keep it simple. It doesn't need to be pages.
I think it just, everybody has said everything already, but thank you.
Julie Tacker and Lindy nailed it with the idea that seismic testing does have to take place. Just as we discussed seismic testing in 2012, and your board did take a position at that time, we do not know the westerly physical boundary of our water basin. Our water basin does go out beyond the sand spit. We don't know how far, if seismic testing takes place, certainly any drilling or even just putting the rigs in could disturb the land below the ocean that is where our water basin lies. So if you're looking for a nexus, Marshall, the Los Osos groundwater basin is a number one in your nexus. From there, it is our community's water supply. We know there's communication between the ocean and our basin because we have seawater intrusion. So with oil drilling, with oil spill, we would also have oil infiltration into that seawater wedge. So that's all it takes for me, and I'm sure the rest of you. I encourage you to send a letter strongly worded and with all of your signatures.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment.
Yes, so I think adding the seismic testing is a good point to add that to that. So if everybody's in agreement on that, I'll add that to the language.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, I that part I already figured out how we could get that. I did notice in this package that we got, though, LOCAC. Cayucas Advisory or Cambria Advisory Council or some one of the advisory council that have taken a position. Is LOCAC going to take a position on this?
I guess we could add it, ask them to add it to the agenda.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, when I was going through the package, because we just got additional ones just this evening. So was it Cambria or Cayucas? I'm not sure.
Cayucas,
yeah. So I think that, yeah, since they're advisory commission, it would be good for LOCAC to do the same thing.
I agree, and I will email Julie Overhoff.
Okay.
There is precedent for that. When I was chair of LOCAC, we spent a great deal of time going over the seismic testing, and we wrote a very passionate letter, actually.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion then that we go ahead and have me write a letter addressing the oil drilling and the seismic testing, or whatever you call it, sonic blasting, seismic testing, whatever, that will be signed by all five of the, well, I guess like, if you all agree, I'm going to say signed by all five directors. So that's my motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So I'll try to get you guys a letter within the next week. Obviously, before anybody signs it, I want everybody to take a look at it and then just get back to me. All right. Thank you.
Excuse me. I'm pulling the discussion regarding the continuation of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee for tonight. Our new member is up to speed on our financial stuff, but not up to speed on all of our issues.
Point of order on that?
I don't
know. Yeah, there's no such thing as a point of order from the audience. Everyone has the right to attend the board's meeting, and you can call for public comment you want. But
that's all I was
asking, is there going to be public comment?
We're going to continue asking, this?
That's yeah. what she said. So. Don't we have to take public comment since it's agendized?
Yes.
Well, actually, no. The law says, I said earlier, the law only requires that you allow public comment before you take action. So if you're going to not take action, you don't have to allow public comment. Sometimes when things involve due process concepts, I advise that you allow public comment because someone might have attended that meeting and not be able to come to the next time. Then they would lose their right to comment. Also, although not legally required, the same concept might apply just in terms of policy, but the board makes the policy, not me.
Well, let me ask this question. So if this is being continued, would people only get the chance to speak once, either tonight or next meeting, or if they spoke tonight, would they have two opportunities to speak?
I think essentially they'd have two opportunities to speak.
I'm in total disagreement with that proposal. I think we have four board members with pretty good knowledge of this whole situation and issue, and that we can at least try and make a decision on that. It seems that, wow, I didn't really think this would be a big deal.
Well, we have the letter from FIRE, so I think that's part of the issue that needs to be discussed here.
Yes, and part of the discussion needs to be why that letter sat around for so long without seeing the light of day.
Thank you.
We'll get to public comment, I do believe, but I'm really troubled that this board is really still considering the elimination of that committee, I guess. I kind of thought that this couldn't be true. But obviously, if the effort to hide that letter went on for so long, that this is true. Wow.
I know.
I'd like to have the time to have one more meeting with Chief Jalbert and the other chiefs.
Okay, that's something different than what I heard before. That's not because we have a new board member. Maybe we need a ad hoc committee to talk with them. A bunch of us, not just one or two.
It can be two. That's the maximum ad hoc. Two, yeah.
I want to be on it.
No, I'd like to know what prompted the letter, quite frankly, because I saw the letter just like everybody else saw the letter, so.
She's choking here.
So why is this being hidden? Why is this being not transparent?
It's still at the board level. The board as a whole can decide if they want to proceed tonight, and then if they decide that they don't want to proceed, the board as a whole can decide if they want to have public comment tonight, even though they don't contemplate taking action. So the board hasn't made that decision yet.
Well, my understanding is for the chair to appoint a ad hoc committee, it has to be done at a meeting, correct?
That would be correct.
Okay, so we couldn't have done anything before tonight, so I'm supportive of the idea of having an ad hoc committee. which, quite frankly, I'm not going to be on because I clearly have enough things I'm doing. But I would suggest that you appoint an ad hoc committee and that we take public comment. I don't see the downside to that.
All right. So, Director Cesena, consider yourself appointed to the ad hoc committee with myself.
Thank you.
I hope you can make it through the end of the meeting.
We're almost there.
I've done this before. I'm not contagious. This is asthma. Okay. So we're going to move on to item F, appointing public members to the 2018 Standing Advisory Committees.
I think we had two members discussing going to public comment. I don't think the board as a whole decided.
We did not resolve that. Thank you.
That's correct.
If your ad hoc committee wants to wait till after you guys have a chance or whatever.
I think there are a couple people who came down here specifically to talk on this tonight, and so I don't see the reason not to give, 9 minutes maybe added to our time tonight to take public comment. We've got until 10 to do two more items.
Fine, I will take public comment.
Send out for pizza and beer.
We have pizza.
Why don't you ask how many people want to comment and then set a big time limit?
Okay.
How
many people wish to comment on this?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
So why don't you just set 10 minutes?
Ready, set, go?
Yeah.
Lindy, I do not understand why anybody in a community services district would want to remove a committee of volunteers and educated volunteers in this case, especially with emergency services. This is we're sitting in the middle of the fire zone. We just talked about how close we are to having to deal with some emergencies ourselves. And this, I've gone to a couple of the meetings, but mostly I feel that it's political to remove them. I don't understand why you would not want to keep any committee going as long as you still have people that are willing to volunteer and are passionate about it. So please do not eliminate this committee.
Tom Wright, Los Osos. Financial things, we have a financial committee. Parks and Rec, we have a Park and Rec committee in this community. Utility department has a utility advisory committee. What's the biggest item in the CSD budget? I think it's probably the fire department. And yet, you do not want a fire department advisory committee for the community operating the biggest single expenditure? That's unfortunate. The opportunity for the public input, those members of the committee, with a few notable exceptions, were all of the public input that this group got, were those committee members. We are members of the committee. We were members of the public. We're the people that you serve, that the fire department serves. What else can I say?
Jerry Dillingham, Los Osos. I had other things planned to say, but, Madam President, I am sorry. When you ran our committee, it wasn't a very good committee. There seemed like there was no direction, and I can understand your frustration. We had two fire chiefs prior to the chief we have now, which I think we're headed in the right direction with him. He has some positive goals. This committee will help him meet those goals, and we're here to serve. I've spent 35 years as a volunteer fireman here. And when I left, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was asked to be on this committee. I started dedicating myself to that committee. That is where I serve Los Osos now. I don't ride the engine anymore, but I serve it at that committee. I had trouble with the budget. I went to Richard. He helped me read the budget, learn it, and understand it. Him and I politically do not get along. Vita, her and I are on opposite ends of the world. But when we walk into that room for that meeting, it's the citizens of Los Osos that we're concerned about, that we come together. There's some things she agrees to and I don't. But we always treat each other with respect. But when we're in that room, we're on the same page. It's for the people of Los Osos that we serve on that committee. I beg you to call the committee together, talk to us, set goals, listen to our goals. And I'm going to pass this out. I put it somewhere. It's our mission statement that we worked on. Marshall, you remember.
Thank you.
I'll take the rest of my time.
The question is, Vita going to give you the rest of your time?
Hi, I'm Vita Miller, and I have been a long-time member of the ESAC and was reappointed sometime during the year last year. I know nothing about that letter. All of the rest of the meetings, I never got to go to one single meeting. All of the rest of them were canceled, never really any good reasons why. And then here, several months later, we find out the existence of this letter. Whatever happened to transparency? And by the way, I really came here to talk about the reason we formed a CSD in the first place was for local governance, local control. We determined that. You know, we took a vote in this community, and we voted for this because the county was not serving our needs. The county was not fulfilling what we wanted, and we didn't feel like we had a voice. So we went ahead and formed a CSD. And now you're acting like we don't have a right to have a voice in what goes on in the determination of critical and crucial services that are given to this community that save people's lives? Please. That's extremely offensive. And I'm sorry I was offended by the letter, because the letter says, our staff provides your board with information, guidance, and recommendations. I feel that the best model to provide this service is to work solely with the general manager. And that came from Fire Chief Jalpert. I want to ask how such an arrangement between the general manager and Cal Fire serves the primary reason for us forming a CSD, local control. And I brought up in my letter the fact that we've had, I said 18, but I guess it's actually 16 general managers, 16 in this district. And many of those people are only here a few months, a year or less. And we're to rely on communication between Cal Fire and the general manager to serve the needs of our community. And by the way, the other thing in the letter talks about the costs. I'm sorry, we have saved this community money. I know that for a fact. We have saved the people of this community money by the establishment of this ESAC, because so many times there were discrepancies in the budget. So many times we talked about ways we could do more things more efficiently with less money. I did bring a list. I don't think Marshall had a chance to see it the last time. I presented it last time, but I'm one of the biggest advocates of Cal Fire. Okay, I love all these people. But please understand that we have a right in this community to have an advisory board to Cal Fire. Cal Fire is a public agency, and we have a right to advise them. So please, I hope that you will continue the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Thank you.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I am a 14 years I was on that committee. And let me tell you, when you talk about any cost associated with having some staff there, whether it's a battalion chief or even the clerk for Cal Fire, we have saved 10 times more money than it's cost to have them participate in those committee meetings, because we drill down into the nuts and bolts, literally and figuratively, into that department, from choosing apparatus and equipment to carpet and windows for the building. The contract specifies that there is an emergency services committee and that Cal Fire will support that. So if you want to end this committee, then you bring that contract back here, and then we will amend it. But you're going to do it in a public process. And I will tell you that that will be a political backfire like a backdraft. I feel like this got started by John Eric Storm. There was an unfortunate gesture that he made when he first was on the emergency committee, insulting a firefighter. And I think that we never got our groove back, so to speak. The changes in chiefs, there was some stumbling, but I think that was more the chiefs in the district than it was the committee, because we were always willing to work, and we worked with anyone who would work with us. When Chair Millage came up onto the committee, you've been a CSD director for 17 months. There's been 4 committee meetings with you there as chair. 4. So the rest of those months, over a year of time, there's not been any emergency services committee meetings. The letter was dropped on your board 2 months ago, right here at the dais. Some of you had never seen it, didn't know it existed. Yet meeting after meeting after meeting had been canceled. We've seen the public record, emails between Renee, Vicky, the chiefs, and it's clear that someone sent a message to the chiefs that the board wanted this action. The board wanted the chief's letter. It's in the correspondence, Renee. Do not shake your head.
Thank you.
It's in
Thank you.
The correspondence.
Thank you.
I'm going to spend the first part of my comment toning this down a little bit. I was very involved in getting Cal Fire into this community. The reason we wanted Cal Fire in this community is what was happening at the Emergency Services Committee meetings under the old chief, before Phil came on, when we started finding out things that he was spending money on that weren't needed, with some of the issues with personnel, with some of that stuff. That only came to light because the committees were meeting on a regular basis. That's where that came from. That's how that got started. Cal Fire being in this community was because there was an emergency services committee back then. And I have all the respect in the world for them. They're all great guys. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to this community. And our level of service is second to none in the incorporated area in this entire county. That's because the community took a stand, defeated a first fire tax, came back and passed a second one, and got a higher level of service than we had under the previous chief. Would have never happened. Would have never happened without the committee. We have a vehicle sinking fund now. Back then, we bought a vehicle, it was on the books. We were paying for it for 10 years. But I'm gonna go back a little bit. When Phil first came to this district and he kind of saw that I had been involved and was, you know, I mean, Phil was part of getting us in here, but when he saw that I was involved in finance committee and other things, he said to me one time, he said, the reason I believe the committee's valuable to the chiefs is he said, when they send us to school to learn what we do in the field, they don't send us to accounting classes. They don't send us to budget classes. There is some personnel, yeah, that are experts at Cal Fire about that. But the guys in the field that are running, and Phil used to admit it all the time, that's not my area of expertise. That's why Phil relied on the committee, relied on the public. If there was an issue coming up, I usually got a call. Does this sound right? Does it seem right? Is the district
is the dispersing money robbery? Have they collected the total special fire tax? Those kind of questions. That's not where his expertise was. He found that part of the committee invaluable. The administrative allocation, that would have never come to light if the committee hadn't kept pushing for it year after year after year. The property tax is now going to the fire department from water department. That came to light in that committee.
Thank you.
You're not going to give us any more time.
No.
Thank you. Seeing no further public comment, I am closing it at this time. Okay. We're now going on to the approval of advisory committee work plans.
Committee members.
Committee.
What?
The committee.
Oh, pardon me. I can hardly see. Excuse me. We need to be appointing public members of to the district's 2018 standing advisory committees. As I recall, the process for doing this is that each
member appoints one.
Director appoints one person.
Well, all of mine are still on the list, so I'm staying with those. What?
Well, I just wanted to point out that in your board packet, there's the 2018 local appointment list. Yeah. And at the time of publication, we only had one application for UAC, and that was Miss Owen, Lindy Owen. Since then, today, we received an application for the UAC committee, and you should all have a copy. There are copies in the back there from Mr. Eric Silver.
Okay, it's on our table, but that's Chuck's appointment. So.
Well, I was just saying, so everybody is aware that there are two applications for UAC.
So, in other words, if the people we appointed last year are still interested in serving on the committee, we can just roll that appointment over. Okay.
So, all four of mine are still there, so I'm good with what I did last year. So.
And I will have to make an appointment, but since there was just an opening that occurred this evening, I will do that next month.
Yeah, well, we have two openings on FAC then, so both you and Lou will have to make appointments, assuming nobody else has.
We have not received any applications for FAC.
And then we have the vacancy on UAC that Chuck has to deal with.
Right. And I think I am going to bring a new face around. Mr. Silva, structural engineer here in town. Looks like a pretty good background. He was here at our last utilities meeting. He came, and I probably shouldn't mention this, Jose, but afterwards when I talked to him, he said, I didn't see the pictures of the yard, but my first question was, why not two new C-trains and a roof over both of them? And I thought, well, you haven't seen the pictures. You don't know the story. And we talked, and he said, yeah, I easily convinced about that, but that's the way I think, is first, let's not spend money we don't have to. But I think he would be a good addition. He's a good man. And so that's going to be my appointment to the UAC.
I guess, can I ask a couple of questions?
Of course.
Is B still interested in serving on financial advisory? Because she is your appointee. So
It seemed like there were a couple of spring break email issues. I don't know what happened last Monday. We're going to have a serious talk because without participation, there's no sense taking up space on the committee's roster.
Okay. It is spring break, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that was a part of what was going on, but I think that was over this week.
She did have the flu the previous
last meeting.
She did let us
know. I'm going to catch
make
up
sure.
with her.
Yeah. Okay.
B's our PTA president, and I've worked with her a lot, and she's pretty awesome.
Okay. Oh, good. Well, if you know her, too, then I'll get in the left ear, you get in the right ear. And
okay.
Between the two of us, we'll get her here.
Okay.
anything else on this item?
Well, we've got a public comment.
I was talking about from the board. All right. Then I'll take public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I will just say that it doesn't go unnoticed that there's no emergency services committee appointments. Someone has a foregone conclusion that there's not going to be an emergency services committee convened, or these people would be named. They would be listed. And then the question to dissolve them would come after. This is the time that you make their appointments, right? This is the time of year. It's by the bylaws when the appointments take place. There's nobody here. So that's what I wanted to point out to you. Good luck to all these people, and thank you for your volunteer time and your interest in the district. But clearly, the Emergency Services Committee members have been snubbed because they're not even listed as a possibility that the committee will continue. It's so disrespectful what's gone on here for those people. It's shameful.
Richard Margaretson, following up what Julie said, I just thought of something. You heard from the committee members that have been on there for a long period of time. They came here tonight wanting their committee to continue, and they sat here for 3 hours. I wonder if you decided to disband the Finance Committee or the Utilities Committee, if you would have gotten the same response. I'm not necessarily sure you would have. I think maybe they would have accepted the thing. But these people on the Emergency Services Committee, some of them are professionals that actually deal in the field. And for them to think that there needs to be this committee in this community, I don't think can go unnoticed.
I'm closing public comment, seeing no others.
Well, yeah, we have a different list here than the list that's in the staff report, so because it does include the Emergency Services Advisory Committee on here. So what I was going to suggest was that I pointed Tom Wright, who spoke tonight, et cetera. But I was going to suggest that we do the appointments to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee contingent upon that committee continuing, if that makes sense. Unless you guys want to kick it down the road, I don't know.
I don't have a problem with doing it your way.
Uh-oh, Chuck and I are on the same page. It's scary.
Not even a full moon.
Because, like I said, I mean, I'm fine with all of my people that I've appointed. They're all continuing, so, and I'm fine with Tom Wright, who's on the Fire Safe Council, so, or whatever it's called.
The Fire Safe.
Whatever.
Council Focus Group.
Yes.
For Los Angeles.
Focus Group. So. Anyway, so I mean, there'd be obviously a vacancy on ESAC that Chris would have to appoint. There'd be two on FAC that Vicki and Lou would have to appoint, and then that would be it. So we'd have three vacancies.
Yes.
She's already there, so she's going to stay there if you want.
So do you want to make a motion?
I'll move that the board confirm the appointments to the Finance, Parks and Recreation, Utilities, and Emergency Services Advisory Committee meetings, or committees.
I'm not against you. I just think that since you have an ad hoc committee, I'd like to make the ESAC contingent upon that committee after you guys report next
Absolutely.
Month. Okay. I'll second it then with that understanding.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I think we will have to collectively remember to put appointments on the agenda again next time so that our new member has a chance to make her appointment. So it'll, if our brains kick in, even though we're after 9 already, then we'll have this the appointment item on the agenda again.
Well, and plus Lou and Vicki have appointments too, so it's...
Our next item is to approve the 2018 Advisory Committee work plans. Board discussion?
Yeah. The Financial Advisory Committee, we looked at our work plan. There was two modifications from the one that we had this year, which was just one clarifying that the budget and stuff would come to them on a monthly basis rather than, because it didn't state that. And then secondly, to add the issue about making a recommendation to the community fund that has come up twice already or three times tonight. So that would be a new scope or a new work program. And then the other one was just to clarify that the budgetary stuff comes on a monthly basis. So that was, and they agreed to that unanimously.
At utilities, I would like a little clarification on number 7, I guess, of our work plan. It talks about review of the rate stabilization study with staff as needed, and I think the intent was to review the effectiveness of the last rate study itself, not just rate stabilization, but the entire rate study. Are we meeting the goals that we projected, the revenue incomes? It's just, I don't know exactly how to say that, the effectiveness of the previous rate study. It's not that we want to change the rate study, it's just, are we meeting the targets that we had set? And I don't know how to say that. Maybe you have a better way to say that. You were at the Utilities Committee, and maybe we'll hear that in public comment. But I'm going to massage number 7.
Yeah, and I think we tried to, when we went over that a couple times, we tried not to make it too narrow. Mm-hmm. We were trying to make it a little bit generic so that it kind of gave you guys the opportunity to visit it until it was fine and make recommendations. That's why it also said, recommendations too, recommendation of the board to review it. But we were trying not to be too specific because then mm-hmm. we felt it might somehow, something you needed to do might fall out of it. So I think that was what we came up with. That was generic enough, but also give you guys the opportunity to visit whenever.
I was just going to say your other overtime employee here tonight came up with some language after listening to you, Mr. Sasania, that perhaps we could just say review the revenue income projected by previous rate plan.
It's beautiful. I think that captures it.
Any further board discussion?
What we wanted to add to Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec is in a... things are going to happen within the next year that... things are going to happen in the next year, and in a way, the goals and objectives we've had for a while were okay, but we had a really strenuous meeting early this week, and we're going to have some other follow-up meetings that will sort of flesh that out a little bit more. And Renee had some, it's changing, but we'll go with what we got right now. There.
So we were going to add a couple of items?
Yeah.
So we were going to add a recommendation, investigate possibilities for the future community gardens, and recommendation investigation for future pocket parks and trails, recommendation for an interim dog park, and recommendation for preservation of green space.
Right.
Almost done.
Yeah, I know.
The board needs to approve the changes. Or
are we ready to take public comment?
if you are, then we'll take it.
Yes, public comment is open.
To the attacker again, and there's no work plan for emergency services committee, so there's that foregone conclusion that there's not going to be one. That's what that says to us. That's what that says, is that you're not going to have a committee. And somebody decided that. And it's wrong. Now, I'd like, I don't know if some of you know, Chuck might remember, at one time, the district had seven committees. Anne remembers. Drainage, environmental. We had committees. And the committees, and this recently changed, this work plan thing. We didn't have work plans. As things came up, the committee would ask to have it agendized at the next meeting, and the committee would hash through it, and whether it even needed to go to the board, they would decide whether or not to recommend it. My concern, and the reason that I believe Parks and Rec had so many things to add to this agenda or to their work plan, is because if it's not on there, it takes 2 months to get it on their agenda. It's got to go to the board. It's got to come back. Da da da. And so that's why, you know, pad it with as many possibilities as you may want to talk about during the course of the year, because it takes 2 months to get it back in front of you when something comes up. And that's just wrong. So I don't like the work plan idea at all. And if it's going to continue, I would ask somebody appoint an ad hoc committee of bylaws to work out some other mechanism to not have to have that two-month delay. There's got to be a better way to be able to let the people who have volunteered their time hash through the issues for you, to make recommendations to you so that you can spend your time working on the big things that matter in the district.
Richard Margetson, good language, Anne. perfect language. I think maybe there needs to be an addition to finance advisory. After reading these carefully, according to, if you're sticking to this plan, which in the past we've had some things that the committee couldn't talk about because it wasn't on this plan, where in this list does this issue of Pacific Premier and the reserve funds being invested, I think there needs to be a line item that this committee is authorized to review any potential agenda item that has a financial impact on the district. Make a broad category, because if I had another 10 minutes, I could come up with a number of things that the committee has actually looked at that would not fall under one of these definitions. And in the past, we've been told we have to hold strict to these definitions. And that's not in here. Review budget, including the monthly statements, that's about as close as you get. None of these other ones would have covered that. And the reason it's important, I think it's important that it be clarified, is there have been issues that nobody's even thought of that may come forward. And I gave the example a couple of meetings ago about when the school board the contracts for delivery of recycled water came before the school board at the Board of Supervisors, and the CSD knew nothing about it. If the public in Los Osos had not been at that Board of Supervisors meeting, I can't even imagine where that would have went after that. But based on these definitions or the utility definition, where would that fall in that category? There needs to be a kind of a broad number in each of these that allows for those to come forward. I'll leave it at that. I hope you understood what I said.
Further board discussion?
I'm ready to make a motion here.
Okay.
I think I appreciate what Richard's saying. So I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we approve the work plans with the addition to the Parks and Rec, what Renee said, with the addition to UAC, what Chuck said and you drafted, and then with the addition to FAC, what Richard just said. And then you can draft the language for that, but that would be my motion.
All right. I'll second that. That sounds like a good idea.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Let's see.
And then I would suggest if the ad hoc is going to make a recommendation to continue ESAC, that you bring a work program to us next month, please.
We didn't pull anything, right? Future agenda items?
I got nothing today. Too late.
Going.
If anybody's still talking, listening, I got one comment.
Okay, but not a future agenda item. No. It's a final comment. Okay.
Okay, final comment now?
Yes.
I just wanted to remember anybody that may still be watching or somebody that may be watching during the day that next week is Big Garbage Week, as we call it. So the garbage company, it's your time to get rid of all your clutter, but just make sure you follow their rules, which are that they have to be in containers or in bags that are sealed. You can't just throw stuff out. And if you have big stuff like washers, dryers, etc., you need to call to make arrangements. Otherwise, that's going to sit by the curb or by the street side. So anyways, that next week's a chance to get rid of your clutter, but make sure you just follow the rules and call them if you have a big item that needs to be picked up.
Will they help haul it out of the attic, right?
That's all I have
and
to
that
say.
And that is on your regular pickup. Your regular
yeah, it's on your regular pickup day next week. I'm sorry. Thanks for clarifying that.
Any further ending comments? Seeing none, I adjourn the meeting.
Okay. We do need some signatures on resolutions.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's not quite it.